welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonner.
What?
Oh, well, I'll have to say it since Danny's not here. Good morning, Bald Brian. Yes, the men of Troy. Nice big Rose Bowl victory for them yesterday. All right, but let's talk about bigger and more important things, namely what the F has been going on. I just kicked the phone with this show. A lot of controversy.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of questions.
All right. Well, I am here to answer those questions and your questions. Here's what I'm going to do. I've given this some thought over the new year. I'm going to, you always have this balance between wanting to share the truth with your audience, wanting to be honest with your audience, and not wanting to be unfair to other people that are involved or piss off management too much or whatever it is. So I'm going to try to relate this story in a way that does both.
You're right. You want to be as honest as possible without stepping on toes unfairly.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not even unfairly. I'm just going to try to be dignified about this whole thing.
It'd be better if you weren't. But
all right. Well, don't worry. That'll come around. That will come around.
Good.
That will slowly creep out over the next 15 minutes. No, that will slowly creep out. But here's the basically the long and the short of it. Jack Silver hired Danny Bonaducci to do something with this show. Man it up a little bit. Okay, let me break it all down. We're on quite a few radio stations, or at least a handful, but Los Angeles is the only one that they really care about. And Los Angeles, the Los Angeles station is a man-themed radio station.
Sure. The kingpin being, of course, Tom Likas.
Right. You say bowling pin or kingpin? Yes. Tom Likas does great ratings in the afternoons. Thus, we should all emulate Tom Likas. It's a pretty simple equation. Right. A lot of businesses run that way. And basically, we picked a direction. Jack Silver picked a direction for this radio station, which was appeal to men. That's fine. So I think one of the reasons Danny was brought on was to appeal to men. Now,
lots
one of the reasons I was brought on was to... Quiet, Teresa. You'll not be talking for the next year.
Oh, no.
You can laugh. What was that thing you did?
When I laugh? That's good.
Don't talk.
Oh,
just
no.
Laugh.
Okay. I think I can handle that.
Let's just do it this way. Teresa, how was your weekend? Laugh. That's right. What's going on in the news? Yeah. Hey, heard you got an abortion.
Just a girl. I can't read the news.
Heard you lost your relative over at the San Francisco Zoo over the weekend.
He was eating my tiger.
Good stuff. All right, so the plan was pick a direction, and that's the way entertainment works. You look at a demographic, and you try to mold a show that is going to capture that demographic. For this station, the one in Los Angeles, KLSX, it's for men, and so we wanted to man it up. Now, I think that's interesting, and that's fine, but I also think that men have interests outside of chugging beer.
Or getting laid for $40 or less.
Right. I think there's plenty of smart guys out there that want to hear interesting talk, maybe political, sometimes sexual. We'll go all over the map, just as long as it's interesting. So Danny was brought on board, and I like Danny, personally. I think Danny, if you... much to people's surprise, much nicer guy, a loyal guy, dedicated guy, and a good guy off the air. And on the air, too, possibly, depending on what you know of him. But a real solid guy off the air, kind of guy who would have your back, a generous guy. But I didn't think he worked out on the air. And the reason I don't think he worked out on the air, and this isn't a put down to Danny, I thought the guy should have been doing the Danny Bonaducci show. He is an alpha male. He is, as I said to our program director, he's a lead guitar player. He's not a rhythm guitar player. He's used to playing lead guitar. And you put him in our band and you tell him, hey, put down the flying V and pick up the acoustic guitar and stand two steps behind me and wear a black turtleneck. And that's not his thing. He wants to play solos. He's a lead guitar player. I might be that too. I don't know. No, actually, I can play rhythm. I kind of like it. I don't like doing the part where we throw up the commercial and stuff. Well, right. Some guys can. And I don't know if Danny can or Danny can't. But Danny, in my estimation, was a lead guitar player. Now you have a band with what is supposed to be lead guitar, rhythm guitar, and Therese on drums, although she's not allowed to play for more than 7 minutes an hour, on drums. And that's the way it would go. But I felt like we had two lead guitar players. And I thought Danny was pretty good as a lead guitar player. It was more of a chemistry or more of a almost round peg square hole match than it was a problem like I had. It wasn't like, oh, I don't think he's funny or I don't think he's interesting or I don't like the guy. As a matter of fact, whenever I spoke to anybody and said, I don't think this is the right match, they'd go, well, a lot of guys don't get along that well. Yeah. You know, Kevin and Bean, they don't like each other that much. Or This guy and that guy, they don't. And I'd always say, stop saying like. I like the guy just fine.
Sure.
I think the guy's a nice guy. And stop saying I don't think he's funny or I don't think he's interesting or I don't think he can do radio. I think Danny Bonaducci is a good guy who can do good radio, but he needs to do the Danny Bonaducci show. It was pretty simple. And again, not a huge put down. I mean, if you really break it down, there's many celebrities who are very successful that you could say that about. I don't know that Jon Stewart or Jay Leno or Conan O'Brien would be happy sitting next to me counting their words all morning and not interrupting me when I'm doing an interview.
That might be difficult for them.
I don't know that it would be even fair to them.
I have a lot of questions.
All right, well, hold on a second. Ted?
Hey, Ace Man.
What's happening, Ted?
Hey, it's good to hear that you're well after never missing radio. It's good to hear you back on the air.
Well, one of the, that's...
Ted is referring to...
We can get to that part of the story, too. Yeah, look, if I'm... It's not that I'm an Iron Man, but I have a pretty strong constitution. And the other thing is radio is so goddamn easy that you could just wheel yourself in here on a gurney and do it on a nightly basis or a daily basis. I mean, when I used to work construction, if I was sick, I couldn't go in because I'd be standing on a roof in Simi Valley in 111 degree weather and you'll start spinning around and fall off the roof if you're really sick. This is one of the few jobs where if you can sit at home and talk, if you can answer the phone at home, then you're good. As a matter of fact, in radio, if a guy doesn't show up and you call him at home and he answers the phone, you should be fired.
Right.
There you go. Yeah, I'll get to my sick out in a second, but Ted, did you want to...
And we heard you over on Drew's show, too, so we knew you were probably doing all right.
Well, that was a sad coincidence, but I'll explain that one, too.
Right, because I kept getting emails that people heard you on Drew's show, his radio show, and they saw you on Carson Daly's show.
Oh, well, the Carson Daly show was something that was taped a couple of weeks earlier. Hey, Ted?
Yeah.
You good?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you very much.
All right,
thanks
my brother.
For calling. Yep.
All right. Yeah, what happened? So I basically realized at some point, and here's the thing, everybody. I'm smart. And when you're smart, you see things down the road a little bit. Life doesn't just hit you in the face at 60 miles an hour every goddamn day. You look down the road. I don't know if you want to call it wisdom. I don't know if it's being intuitive. Maybe it's a whole bunch of things that I've collected. But it's that sort of thing where you know after the first date, maybe this isn't marriage material. Now everyone is saying to you, why? This person's good looking. This person's nice. They paid for the bill. They pulled your chair out. They closed the car door. Yeah, I know. But I can see down the road. And I could see down the road that Danny wasn't a good fit for this show. Again, not a bad guy, not an unfunny guy, and I think will be and is a good radio show host. He'll be on this station later in the afternoon. not a good fit for the show. I knew it, so I started to tell management and whoever else would listen that I didn't think he was a good fit for the show. I didn't want them to throw the guy out. I wanted them to put him somewhere where he could do the Danny Bonaducci show instead of... I didn't want to carve a little corner out of my show where he could do the Danny Bonaducci show in the corner of my show. That's what it sort of felt like to me. So, Sharon.
I think Sharon's upset about no Danny.
Hey, Sharon?
Yes. Hi, how you doing?
What's happening, Sharon?
For one thing, I'm happy that you're feeling better. And hello, Teresa. How you doing?
Very well. Good morning, Sharon. A happy new year.
Thank you. Same to you. But I'm the granny that likes Danny. And I'm the one that got your number so that I could listen when I went and saw the surfing competition. And, you know, so and I listen on the headset. I have one in the bathroom, have one in the living room. But I started listening when Danny came on, and with Danny off, I'm gone.
Well, adios, bitch. It's going to be a very small bus. All right. Now, I know it sounded cruel, but that's what she said. So, fine. Right. And she can find Danny.
He'll be on from, what, 2 to 3?
2 to 3 on KLSX out here in Los Angeles. She's out in Sacramento, but she can
podcast,
stream it or podcast it or whatever. All right. So, I realized that Danny wasn't a good fit for the show. And I expressed that to management, and they said, stay the course. And I thought, all right, well, we could stay the course. And believe you me, everybody, I'm capable of coming in here and doing a radio show with Danny Bonaducci. I just did it for a year.
Yeah, I think you did a great job. And I don't think any listener could sense that you were uncomfortable with the chemistry.
You know, I really, you know, the thing about, there's a couple things. One is, I've worked construction, and so I'm used to working with anyone or everyone or whatever. I've worked with everybody in my life. And for me, work is just that. It's work. It's not marriage. It's not a date. It's not relationship. It's just work. And I'm capable of sitting next to almost anybody and working off of them or working well with them or having a good time with them on and off the air. Danny was no different. But the question is, do you want to get by or do you want to flourish? Do you want to do a good enough radio show or have good enough chemistry or just feel like, well, you're good enough to kind of work this one out? Yeah, we're all good enough to do that with anything. But how many lives do you have? How many years do you have? How many things do you want to say? And how long do you want to do good enough versus the best you can do? See, I think there's something in this show, and I also, a lot of it was based on Teresa Strasser over here, who I felt, and have always felt, is has something in her that maybe she isn't even aware of. Teresa, I spoke to this time last year, and I said to her during the Christmas break, I said, Teresa, I'd like you to step it up a little bit. I know you think you're living in a man's world, but you're smart and you're talented and you're funny, and you should not encumber yourself. You should speak freely. And I feel like she stepped it up. Well, I feel like there's even another gear that Teresa has. Don't talk, baby. Let me just talk about your gears for another 20. Just laugh it up. But I feel like there's another gear and there's another place to go with Teresa. And that was always my vibe. And just like I knew that Danny wasn't a good fit for this show. And again, when I say good fit, I don't mean we wouldn't have gotten ratings. I don't mean we wouldn't have done a entertaining radio show. And I don't mean that Danny wasn't good. I just could tell that he was a lead guitar player in a band that already had a lead guitar player. I know that there's more places to go and explore with Teresa Strasser. All right.
Permission to speak briefly?
Yes, yes.
The fact that you believe in me and have supported me fills me with both pride and
Fear.
Crippling anxiety, the likes of which poor Sharon and Tarzan has had to hear about for many weeks. Be seeing her today at 2.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to let you down.
Mm-hmm.
Or disappoint, or, you know, not meet expectation.
No, there's a look. I'm a very good judge of character, and I'm a better,
you're making it worse.
Better judge, better judge of talent. And I know there's plenty in your tank. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Everyone hang on, because everyone has questions, and feel free to ask them. 866-901-M. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back to discuss next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up this morning with our program director, Jack Silver.
Happy New Year, peeps! Today, porn star Tara Patrick, comedian Greg Fitzsimmons, a special midweek edition of Music Monday, and a New Year's themed round of What Can't Adam Complain About? Hey, Ace Man, bet you can't complain about the Jackman's New Year's resolution to spend less time at home cruising MySpace for jailbait and more time in the office cruising MySpace for jailbait. Hey!
Thank you, Jack. Adam Carolla with Teresa Strasser and without Danny Bonaducci on the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, yeah. So we're talking about that this morning. Now, here's the deal. I would like to not dedicate much of this show to that discussion because there's other things I'd like to discuss. I would like to discuss it. Then you guys can tell your friends, or you can give it to them on your iPod, or you can do whatever you kiddies do to share information these days, and then we can move on doing the kind of show that I would like to do and not discussing doing the kind of show I don't want to do. But we certainly need to discuss it this morning. We have your phone calls. I'll start with Country Fred.
Hey, this is Country Fred.
All right.
Hey, Fred.
Hey, have you ever smoked pot before, Country Fred?
No, drank a lot of booze, no pot.
Okay. Good times, Country Fred.
Yes. Hey, congratulations on getting rid of the Ducci. And those improv lessons paid off for a year, didn't they?
Well, now, what does that mean, Country Fred?
Yeah, Fred.
Oh, that means like, you know, Danny Bonaducci always had a story to one-up you. He was a one-upper.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to come back on something. So.
Right. We know the advice about one-upping.
Right. Don't be a one-upper, like I said before. Thank you, Christina Dolce.
Well, Danny was... he used a little hyperbole. Let's just put it that way. And there's nothing wrong with that, because radio is theater of the mind, and a lot of people, well, ultimately, look, we're here to entertain. And however that works is however it works.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't sit around and watch Lost and go, wait a minute, these are actors. This is a script. They're not even on a... I saw that guy on The Tonight Show, too. I don't do that. So there is a little bit of a theater of the mind thing that some guys use on the air. I don't. I don't like it. If I say something, here's the way I work. I have fairly low self-esteem, or as I've said, no self-esteem.
Right.
Which may be lower than low self-esteem. If you have low self-esteem, you overcompensate by acting like you have self-esteem. I have no self-esteem. When I tell a story, that's the story. Super accurate. That's the story. As a matter of fact, if I tell you I got in a fight with a guy and I say he was 6'2", he was probably 6'3". I will...
You might undersell.
I will round down.
I think that was confusing sometimes, and Danny was nothing but good to me, and I like him as well, and will continue to. Sometimes the hyperbole confused me because I couldn't tell whether the story was real or not, and I didn't know how to respond, and I got... That would agitate me slightly.
Yes, I'm with you on that.
But this is not an exaggeration. I don't know if you talked to Danny since this happened.
No, I have not.
I have.
I actually, well, I have two phone numbers for him. They were both wrong. But I did send
numbers.
I did send him an email.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
F and then a big U. No. I sent him a nice or what I thought was a nice email. The whole thing about sending someone a nice whatever, it all depends.
Right.
You know, you could say, I sent them a nice basket of fruit, and if they took the fruit and they burned it in their driveway and you'll die, then it's not a nice.
Sure.
I sent him an email that said, nothing personal, like you as a person and like you on the air. I think you should be doing your own show.
I'm so glad you did that because I spoke to him briefly. It was early in the morning. Maybe he wasn't totally awake yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to check in with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I thought we were pals.
Ugh.
And it was very heartbreaking.
Look,
I can take it.
If I had a heart and or soul, I would be very upset right now.
You're so lucky you don't.
Now, I've said this once, I'll say it for the last time. I like Danny. I'd like to go out to dinner with Danny.
Yeah.
Well, and other people.
Right.
I mean, not alone.
In a group. That dilutes the Bonaducci effect.
70, 80 for closest friends.
100.
Maybe it's rent out some hall, some veterans hall. No, I like Danny. he's not my best buddy, but I like Danny. And I think the guy is a talent. I think the guy can do radio. Not everyone can do radio. Believe you me, not everyone can do radio, and he can do radio.
And you've actually said that to me off the air, that he is amongst the best at radio.
Yes, but not as a second banana
right.
or sidekick. All right. Well, let's put it this way. Brian Whitman does the he does Tom Likas
yeah,
on
brilliant.
This station. He does Conway and Whitman. They're on in the evenings. Brian Whitman's a very talented guy. Brian Whitman is a very talented sidekick. Brian Whitman is a better sidekick than Danny is, but I don't think for a hot second that Brian Whitman would be a better host than Danny Bonaducci.
I got
so
you.
Who am I slapping in the face? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're just two different skills.
Right. Renee?
Hey, how's it going, Adam? Congratulations on getting rid of Danny. And I say that respectfully because I think that you're the new age Howard Stern. It seems that radio has it's evolved. It used to be the Howard Stern where there's a persona and you act things out and you're not that guy off the air. You are the same guy that you're on the air that's off the air.
Now, how do you know that?
I just get a feeling. Am I wrong?
You couldn't be more right.
Jovial and funny off the air. You don't know that.
You go out to dinner with Adam, you're going to hear a two-hour rant, doesn't stop for commercial breaks, and then he takes your leftovers.
And that would be great. That would be great. At least you get what you ordered.
Yeah,
I have to say, I'm a huge fan. I listen every morning. And Teresa, you're doing a great job, by the way.
Thank you, Renee.
But, Adam, there's a thing where you're a persona, and it seems like that doesn't fly anymore. You need the person, people like a real person on the air. And Danny wasn't that. And I say that respectfully. You're right. If he is a talent, he is a talent like Tom Likas. So you take that for what it's worth. Also, you can't say this probably, but the Jack Silver thing. I mean, Jack Silver produces what? Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, and Tom Likas. And is there any way for you to break away from Jack Silver and his production brain and
Adam, this is radio.
Well, to be fair to Jack Silver, Jack Silver's not standing in this thing, standing in our booth holding up a actually just lifted a cue card there. Told me to wrap it up and then pointed at his
wife. Well, he did tell me never to say anything bad about Tom Likas. And I'm not kidding about that.
No, right. I will.
I love you,
Likas. I will say this about Jack Silver. I know has somehow become demonized amongst my fans. Jack Silver hires the people he thinks can bring his station the best ratings and then generally leaves them alone.
Yeah.
When I
true.
Say generally, yeah, he does a little bit armchair quarterbacking, but that's his job. He puts his strongest lineup forward and he generally leaves his lineup alone. So, Renee, the good news is, and look, there are people that are fans of Tom Likas who may not be fans of mine and vice versa. And same with Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. That's fine. And the same with Danny Bonaducci. Here's what I'll do. I'll do the best show, Adam Carolla. I promised myself I wouldn't do that in the new year, but 2 hours in, here I go. Adam Carolla will be the best show Adam Carolla can do in the Adam Carolla show in the morning. And then when Adam Carolla signs off, you can tune out and go listen to Dennis Prager or whoever. And you can also, not that anyone's listening, but if you're a big Likas fan, you can listen to Likas and then tune out when I come on. I'm fine with that. I've always understood that there's a knob on a radio and that people use it. You see, program directors for radio and television stations, they always talk about lead-in. They always talk about the fact that somehow you take your radio, you set it to a certain setting, and then you spot weld the knob there. You break it off, and you never touch it again. I know that's nonsense. I know that's a retarded radio dogma. It's followed me my whole career. Look, if you don't like me, you won't listen to me. And if you do like me, you will listen to me. And it's the same with Likas. And it doesn't matter whether you're 3/4 of an inch over on the dial or not. That's the reality of it. So I'm going to give the people that are fans of mine, all 11 of you, the best I have to give in 08. Renee?
Yeah, you know what? Let's say that you got to give praise, I guess, to Jack Silver for it. He's been in the business quite a while. And he's been successful. I'm just saying that maybe it's time to retire.
That's all right.
As he reminded me the other day, he's been doing this for 35 years.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Let me go down. Just go down the line. Paul?
Hey, what's going on, Adam?
What's happening, Paul?
A big fan of you two.
Thank you.
Very happy with the direction of the show. I don't know if you remember this, but early on in the Bonaducci era, I called in for What Can Adam Complain About
under the pseudonym.
I got past the screener saying I was calling in about new socks. You couldn't complain about new socks.
This is amazing.
Precisely. And then I said something about you can't complain about the show last year before Bonnet Douchebag torpedoed it or something like that.
And by the way, getting past our phone screener, Teddy, is no easy task. It'd be like Devin Hester, the return man for the Chicago Bears, getting past a guy in a wheelchair who was just on the 50-yard line who'd fallen asleep because he'd...
Paul juked him.
took too many meds. Yeah. Well, nice job, Paul.
But anyway, I was going to say, I don't know if you remember that at all, but it was really glossed over.
I don't remember this, by the way, Paul, but continue.
I didn't know if that created, like, was there any bad blood right from there?
Let me explain something, too, about Danny. Danny was fairly impervious to this stuff, or maybe he went home and wept openly. I don't think he did. He's been in radio for a long time. He's been in entertainment for a long time. He was a big boy. He could take the criticism nicely, I should say, if there's a way to take criticism. Unlike our own Teresa Strasser, if you say one thing about her, there will be just a heap of tears with a yarmulke floating on top of
it. Yeah, no, yeah. He and I were antithetical that way.
Right.
Nothing really hurt his feelings.
Right.
He's a big boy.
Yeah. Also, part of the reason I decided to sort of take a stand, for lack of a better phrase, is you people. I heard what you people were saying. I heard what the fans were saying. They didn't think Danny was a good fit for this show, and I could ignore half of you, but it seemed to be more than half of you, and at a certain point, well, let's give the people what they want.
If you could talk about taking a stand while referring to yourself in the third person, I'd prefer that.
You know, when Adam Carolla takes a stand, Adam Carolla does it in a way that sends a message. Yes,
right.
I stayed home. I didn't come into work, and I didn't answer the phone, and I didn't talk to anybody. So much so that on Friday of that week, at the end of the week of me not answering the phone and me not talking to anybody, Jimmy Kimmel came over to my house.
Because you wouldn't pick up the phone and he lives nearby.
Yes, he came over and he rang the gate.
Did you let him in?
I fired one warning shot. I fired one rock salt shot over his head and I yelled, "Get!"
Because
Jimmy came in and Jimmy said, "Look, you're not answering your phone and everyone's driving me nuts. So do me a favor and call somebody back." And then he played with my kids for an hour and a half.
And then went home.
Then he ate. Then he went home. Right.
So you basically were in, well, appropriately titled radio silence. You didn't pick up the phone. You didn't talk to your agent. You didn't talk to Jack. You didn't talk to Kimmel. You just kept your own counsel.
Right.
And maybe Lynette.
That's right. Who? Hey, Veronica.
That's Lisa.
Oh, Lisa? Things aren't lined up. Oh, I hit the wrong one. That's why. Hey, Veronica.
Adam, you're my idol.
Yeah.
To the chagrin of my boyfriend, because I talked about you way too much.
You must be heavy set. Yes.
I knew you were going going to say that. No, I'm actually blonde Russian, 5'6", 120 pounds, natural C cup. Lose the weight, chubby.
Nice. So, Veronica, how say you?
I say I want to support your point on you saying that you hope that not only stupid Raider fan guys listen to your show. And I want to say that my twin brother and I have followed you for many years, and I've listened to every single show. And he actually is now in Harvard after going to junior college. Sorry.
Wow.
And so there you go. Your point is proven right. And you've taught us everything we know about American culture. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Veronica.
I
feel
Veronica.
For you. All right, we need to take a break, but quickly, all the things up on the screen are all pro-Adam, but I found the one that is anti-Adam, and I'd like to talk to him. Jim?
Yeah.
What do you have to say for yourself?
Man, I've been trying to listen to your show for 2 years now, and they fired the wrong guy again. I can't believe you're still on the air. I've been waiting for this new year to start to see if they're going to finally get some talent on there, but I guess not.
Well, who would you like them to have on the air?
Anybody with a pulse.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional
facility. Who are some of the people you like?
Who are some of your favorite comedians? We'll see if we can get them.
Yeah.
Do they say things like, get her done?
No.
Do you like Jeff Foxworthy?
Hey, I like Danny Bonaduce. He was a good guy, you know. You guys fired him. I thought he probably could have took over the show. That's what I thought was going to happen. I thought you were going to get fired, and Danny was going to be the number one.
Well, it was all right with me if that's the way it went down. I was just sort of prepared to do whatever.
I just can't believe they're going to leave a hypocrite like you on the air again for a whole nother year. I can't listen to this station no more.
Now,
I can't do it.
Well, by the way, you should like 65% of what's on this station if you can't stand me, number one. Although you're out in Portland.
Yeah.
Oh, so who knows? Maybe they got a good station. Right. Hey, Jim.
Hey, let me ask.
Why do you call me a hypocrite?
Well, because you're always talking about illegal immigration, and yet you probably hire more illegals than anybody you know.
Ah, that's a very decent and fair point you bring up. Yes, I do hire plenty of illegals.
I'm sure you do.
I like to think of them as undocumented.
That Aussie guy, he's probably still illegal, ain't he?
No.
No, you got a green card with your money, right?
Yeah, I don't know. His green card is one of my green backs. He just pulls a 20 out and hands it to whoever pulls him over.
That's what I figured, so... And yet you still talk about how there are too many illegal aliens in this country, but I knew you were hiring plenty of them.
Well, you know what? It's a good point, Jim. And you sound hungover, but I like the cut of your jib anyway.
No, I just woke up.
I have never said anything about hiring illegals. I've always said, let's build a wall, let's beef up the borders, let's not let them in. I realize
if you don't want to let them in, don't hire them. Don't give them a job.
Right. And I understand that would work, but it's unrealistic.
Oh, really? Why is that? You can't pay an American a decent wage. A living wage, huh?
Well, first off...
Cut into your Ferrari budget?
Well, it's actually my Lamborghini budget, but yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, it will cut in. Well, I will tell you this. In Southern California,
mm-hmm.
as long as you want to get into it,
uh-huh.
you'll have a difficult time finding guys to do construction that are legal.
Yeah, not for $8 an hour.
No, for any amount.
Oh, come on.
I'm serious.
Come on, Adam. There are Americans looking for jobs out there. They just can't afford to pay the rent with the money that they get paid.
Come out here and try to build something. And by the way...
I lived in San Diego for 20 years.
By the way... Oh, they don't have any Mexicans there. Who are you kidding?
No, they don't have any there.
Let me say this. I've never paid anyone legal or illegal any different in the pay scale. Aussie... Whether he's legal or not, we can ask him later. Or whoever I've ever worked with gets paid the same for me.
They earn a living wage.
They all get $3.75 an hour.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, Jim, listen, I know you're disappointed.
Yeah.
So please take your disappointed ass and turn your radio off or switch it to another station.
I definitely am. I can't do it no more.
Really,
I'm going to have to get serious radio so I can listen to Howard Stern again because you suck.
Goodbye.
Please do.
Goodbye!
I can't stand to lose a fan that has such an intricate understanding of the English language.
He was a very, very eloquent man.
He had taken us all by surprise.
Well, look, please, Jim, you've... was it? Well, he listened to the show last year, right?
Well, he's now listened for two straight years, but he's really hating it.
All right. We'll talk to you this time next year when Teresa's gone. Quick break. All right, now let's put this. Let's put this nonsense. I know you're not going to make it the year. We'll put this nonsense behind us. I want to talk a little Christmas break. I spent a lot of time, some say too much time, with my family. I spent a lot of time with the kids. I dropped both of them on their heads simultaneously, as well as myself yesterday. Many stories to share from the Christmas and New Year. T?
Oh, yeah.
You have some chambered yourself?
Sure do.
We'll do that next.
Vacation. Right here on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, indeedy. F indeed. Well, this is the longest I'd went without working in my whole life.
Really?
Or since high school. Well, yeah, I always had jobs where you had to work, otherwise you didn't get paid. I never had paid vacation jobs. And then when I did have paid vacation jobs, I was doing other projects. There's always something going on. So I was left to stew in my own juices, which meant more time with the kids.
How are the kids?
They don't talk, so I don't know. They're not happy because Daddy dropped them on their heads yesterday, actually last night.
You dropped them simultaneously?
Simultaneously, yeah. Yeah, how did that happen? Well, that's the sound that Sonny made. And Natalia made one that was quite a bit louder that only cats could hear. She does that thing where she just went into a third gear. You know, it's funny, though, when you drop kids, there's that three Mississippi where you're not sure how they're going to react because one out of every five drops, they dust themselves off and they keep going.
Sure, it's nothing.
It's really, it's like when you see a guy get thrown off a bull. Once in a while, he pops right up and runs for the stands, and once in a while, he don't move.
Now,
you don't know which one it's going to be, yes.
For that 3 seconds, you just freeze?
You overcompensate for that 3 seconds. Hey, look who landed on his head. That's awesome. Look, Daddy's going to hit himself in the head with a slipper. See, it doesn't hurt. And then, and then the screaming, and then the running for mommy. This was in front of mommy, and in many states, I would be arrested for what I did to them. How did both my kids get dropped on their head simultaneously last night, you ask yourself? Yeah. Well, here's how it worked. I'll try to explain this. It's one of those California things. But you know those balls, those big rubber balls? They're about 2 foot, maybe 28 inches around. It's a big rubber ball. You'll see them at the gym. People use them. They roll over. They put their backs on them, and they roll around, and they stretch out, and they do sit-ups and things on them. Just a heavy duty. It's filled with air.
Yeah.
But it's this big, you know, it would sit, you know, it'd make a nice tee for it, a trash can. If you put it on top of a trash can, it would look like a ice cream cone.
Yeah, they use them in physical therapy and fitness.
Right, right. I work with a guy once a week. Comes over to my house, stretches me out, does some stuff with me. But he does, like, fun stuff, not just lifting weights. This guy sort of caught on that I have a good sense of balance. And so he started doing stuff with the ball with me. So he said, hey, get on the ball. Get up on your knees on the ball. So I got up on my knees on the ball. That's right. Start sucking. No, he said, get up on your knees.
You said you do fun stuff with a guy. I had no idea.
Yes. That's why fun. I'm paying him.
Really?
Here's the point.
Your jaw has been very fit.
I can ride a unicycle and do other things that are sort of balance-oriented. That would be my strength. My strength wouldn't be my strength. It would be my balance. So he said, yeah, go up on your knees on the ball. And so I would go up on my knees on the ball. Now, I wouldn't touch my feet to the floor. I would just go on my knees on this ball. And then at a certain point, he said, see if you can catch the medicine ball. Weighs about 10 pounds, size of a basketball. I said, see if you can catch it on your knees on the ball. So he started throwing me the medicine ball, and I would fire it back to him, no problem. And then he said, see if you can stand on the ball. And I said, well, that seems harder, but I was able to stand on one of those balls. And then he said, see if you can play catch with the medicine ball while you're standing on the ball, and I could do that. I have crazy balance. Again, that's about it. Everything else is bad on me, but very good balance. So said ball was down in the kiddies room down in front of the TV set, and Daddy had skipped his rope last night, and he came in with an ass full of himself and a little sweat, and he jumped right on the ball. And as soon as I jumped on my ball on my knees and balanced around and tried to impress the old lady, well, of course, Natalia came running up. Daddy, Daddy. And then she just looks at me, and it's the cutest thing in the world. She says it very quietly. She goes, up. And she just holds her hands and goes, up. And I wish I could do that as an adult.
I really do.
I wish I could just walk down the hall, find some guy, look at him and go, up.
And
next thing you know, I'm just embracing him, just on him like a spider monkey. So she said, up. And, of course, Daddy was up on his knees on this big blue back-stretching ball. And I said, all right, I think I can handle this. And I leaned forward. I didn't put my feet down. I was still balancing on my knees. And I lifted up Natalia. And then Sonny came rumbling over. Sonny, again, my son, built like a butt plug. I would call him a nose tackle or jukebox, but he's not quite big enough yet. He has the dimensions of a good butt plug. And
with a very cute mop of curly hair I saw in your Christmas photo.
He wobbled over to me, and he just looked at me, too. Now, he doesn't have up in his vocabulary. He just stands there and looks at you, but that meant it was time to come up, too. So now, while I'm holding Natalia and still putting my knees on this big rubber ball, with no part of me touching terra firma, I lean over and pick Sonny up. And now I'm holding both of them and balancing on my knees on this big blue ball and trying to impress my wife and whoever's on the TV set, because I believe they can look.
They can see you, too.
And I looked it over and I said, hey, looking good. And I said to my wife something. She picked up the phone or something. I said, who's... I turned my head, and all of a sudden my knees rolled behind me. So this ball, and the whole thing about bouncing on the ball, you can go from feeling really good to ass over tea kettle in a millisecond.
Yeah.
Like, you go from, hey, I'm standing on a ball, to, hey, I'm on my head and I have a compound fracture in my femur.
My kid went out the window.
Yes, I was holding both my kids on my knees on this ball, and the next thing you know, my knees were going behind me and my forehead was going forward. Of course, my preservation instincts
got to kick in,
and I let the kids go, and my head went forward.
Save Daddy's face. That's his moneymaker.
That's right. Kids, I'll explain to you what the cash register is in a few short years. You see this house? You see that big wheel? You see that sit and spin? You see that chopperoo? You think Elmo got lost and wandered into this house, or did Daddy go out and make some bucks? So both kids went down on their back. They both hit their heads on the carpet, and there was a palpable thud, and my wife gave me the I'd broken in and was wielding a rusty machete look like, God, dear Lord. And both kids were down, and then there was the three Mississippi, and then they both exploded. That's what it sounded like.
And were they okay?
Hard to tell. You know, it's not like, well, he couldn't focus at school the next day.
Right.
I mean,
I don't know.
If your job the next morning, look, if all you had to do to figure out whether you're okay is you crap yourself.
Right.
And then the next morning you watch Sesame Street while someone feeds you oatmeal.
You just described my vacation.
How would we know?
But they seem okay. Now, did you have to take him into the emergency room? Was Lynette freaked out?
No. No, they'd.
Maybe they were just scared.
They'd been dropped many times before that, so. All right, God knows what the nanny does to him when I'm not there. T.
Yes.
This would have been the time of the show when you told me what you did during the Christmas
break.
Who needs that?
When we got a news coming up?
Ah. What's coming up in the news?
Well, your friend David Alan Greer.
Dag?
Was on TMZ.
I saw it.
I don't know if he was effing with them or if he was loaded. Let me just play a little tease.
My wife's going to give birth any moment, and I'm in this club to listen to you.
Well, I know his wife is pretty pregnant, right?
Yeah, I think she's due in February. So it's not exactly any minute.
Okay, he's screwing around. All right.
He might have been screwing around.
We'll do the news with Teresa Strasser next.
Coming up this morning, we'll do a special New Year's edition of What Can't Adam Complain About and find out how the Ace Man can complain about anything. We'll sit down with porn star Tara Patrick and comedian Craig Fitzsimmons. Same person, really. and do Music Monday here on Wednesday. What's the best and the worst song to hear as you ring in the new year? Call 866-901-ADAM. Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and it's suddenly a lot quieter in here. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
T-Bone.
Yes.
What is in the news?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Well, Adam, I presume you had something more interesting to do than stay home and watch Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve.
I did not see that. I never see those shows. I don't know. There's something about those shows and most award shows and most of those, like, three-hour marathon compilation shows that I immediately lose interest in. Am I right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I stayed home and watched, and the Jonas Brothers and Miley Cyrus, although I very recently was a tween.
I like to have sex with all those people.
Three of them are dudes.
Hmm?
The Jonas Brothers?
Yeah, but before pubes, that's all one.
That's all one.
That's right. There's BP.
BP, right.
And then there's BP, post-pube. BP, we're all just one sex.
And BP for Miley Cyrus, that's before period? So mm-hmm. Would that be the same?
Jesus Christ. I got to think about that.
I'm sorry. Dick Clark.
That's right. Dick Clark.
Was counting down to 2000 on his New Year's Rockin' Eve. Now, mostly Ryan Seacrest.
He started in October.
Yeah.
They just dragged him out. Let me say this about Dick Clark. Okay. I have not seen Dick Clark. I don't know what kind of condition he's in. I never hear him. I only hear Ryan Seacrest, who fashions himself a young, slightly more boring Dick Clark, sitting around talking about what a great guy is. And then he does this one. I heard this one dusted off. He's a workaholic. To me, that just makes you an a-hole. I don't like workaholics. By the way, if you're in a lab somewhere trying to cure breast cancer or AIDS, by all means, be a workaholic.
Yeah.
If your drool is coming down on your clip-on bow tie and you're wearing a bunch of powder makeup and you're throwing it to Fergie, who's going to be doing a song called Fergalicious, but you can't pronounce it, who gives a rat's ass if you're a workaholic?
Well,
I don't appreciate it and I don't respect it. You know what you should be when you're super rich?
What?
And you're super old? Famaholic. Spend time with your family.
Right.
Boataholic.
Napaholic.
Napaholic.
Or what about just a plain old alcoholic?
How about call me old fashioned. Give me the owl.
There you go.
Just put it right in front. You should be drunk on a boat with your family.
Well, Dick Clark doesn't do much these days on his show. Mostly the duties are Ryan Seacrest, although he did count down.
Okay, we're going to hear that because I'm just so tired of Seacrest up there blowing smoke up his ass. He must make more Dick Clark jokes behind his back than anybody. And every time he gets interviewed by the person with the smile painted on their face from whatever entertainment show they're doing, it's like, oh, he never stops. He's a workaholic. He's a workaholic. Well, maybe he should stop. And by the way, what is he providing? And if you do that thing where you go, well, he's providing entertainment, providing smiles. Well, there are people out there that do that. Dick Clark's not one of them. He just throws it from one guy to the next guy who is putting a smile on your face or your ears.
Well, they didn't trot him out till the very, very end. Then he did the countdown, which I'll play you, after which Ryan Seacrest came running into the little room where they were keeping Dick Clark, and they had an exchange of mutual love and adoration.
Mm.
It was very touching. Here is Dick Clark counting down to 2008.
The noise is building, Times Square. Everybody is ready to say goodbye to the older and ring in the new. It's going to be a whale of a celebration. So let's go. Here we go.
Goodbye to the old. Goodbye to the old, Dick. You said it yourself.
15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, Happy New Year.
I turned right to Batman and I said, Happy New Year.
And look, you don't start it at 20. You started at 10.
Well, last year
slippery
he did 10
slope.
And he was off a few. 10 is harder.
Ah, I see.
So I think
see.
With 20,
he didn't pick up the count.
Right. He had a little wiggle room.
Right. But it's a slippery slope because next year 30, next year 40.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, our kids are in their 50s and they're watching 180-year-old Dick Clark up there drowning in his own saliva going, 2 hours, 18 minutes, and 22 seconds. 21 seconds. 20 seconds. 2 hours, 17 minutes even.
I couldn't help thinking that it must give a lot of hope to people who have suffered strokes.
First off, people that suffer strokes don't.
It's inspiring.
No.
He shows up there. He counts down from 20 to zero.
Out with the old and in with the new. I know I sound like the world's biggest a-hole because I'm making fun of Dick Clark. This is an ego trip the guy's on.
He can't let go.
Yes, just let go. You've made a gazillion dollars. You've been on TV for 55 years. Now go enjoy your money, or better yet, go put whatever's left of your talents to some use.
You think he's like Muhammad Ali? He doesn't know when to stop fighting.
Yes. Although, that would be an interesting countdown. Muhammad Ali and you Dick don't. Clark. I wish I could. You're so lucky. You're so lucky I can't. They should have him in next year. Yeah. He can help Dick.
Well, God bless them. They had some performances by the aforementioned Jonas Brothers and Miley Cyrus. Here they are singing a song I had never heard before and hope to never hear again.
What is going on with our society? I saw her show.
What?
Victor Victoria.
Hannah Montana?
Hannah Montana. Same show. I saw Hannah Montana. Like, I stumbled onto it like a year and a half ago or something like that. And I'd watch it, and I was like, who's this semi-homely chick with the crooked teeth, and what's she doing on TV? And what is this stupid premise? And now the tickets are going for $3,500.
Oh, it's huge.
Are these tweeners?
Yeah. These are the tweens. This is what the tweens are buying.
I'm going to freeze my kids right through their tweens.
You don't want them to exist as tweens.
I'm going to be, put them between the waffles and the Hungry Man Salisbury steak dinner. That's what their tweens going to be.
Wake them up at 19,
18? Somewhere. What is tweener? Is tweener like 10, 11 to like 14, 15,
that's
something like
right.
that?
Yeah,
there's. There's that horrible time in your life when you don't think you're a kid anymore, so you're not interested in, you know, finger paints and big wheels and Elmo, but you can't F, depending on your ethnicity, and you don't have your driver's license. And that's a tough couple of years because your sexuality is like coming online. You're wanting to dress up and wear makeup. And I'm just talking about Board Op Bill when he was 13 and put the earrings on and go out and do that stuff. On the other hand, you can't really date. You can't really have sex. And you don't have your stepmom has to give you a ride to the mall and then sit outside while you go up there and chat up guys and then come back out. So it's this weird time, uncomfortable time. I'm not interested in experiencing that, especially as my daughter. I don't mind when she becomes a woman, and I don't mind her now as a, you know, toddler going into adolescence. I would say that I'm going to freeze her during her tweener years.
That's a good idea, because it is awkward. The father-daughter thing is very awkward during the tween times.
Mm-hmm.
It's confusing, because I remember my dad would always throw me in the pool. That was our game.
Mm-hmm.
Make me some juice.
Throw me as far as he could throw me.
Right.
And it was fine.
Shaped
and then,
like a well. She's like, Teresa's like, yeah, we have a lap pool, but it's vertical. It's about 3 foot wide. It's got a wooden bucket hanging in it.
No, then one day, no more.
Lotion on its skin.
No more throwing me, because I guess it's weird to pick up your daughter in the tween times.
You don't realize it, but your daughter or your son or whoever, you know, they get on top of you, they straddle you, they ride on top of you. It's where you put your hands in all kinds of inappropriate areas. Yes. You can't do that anymore, and that's the tweener year. So I'm going to freeze my daughter between, what do we say, 9 and 15?
Yeah, it's about, well... Maybe 9 and 4. Yeah, 9 and 15.
It'll be fine. It'll be embarrassing when people come over, though.
Where's Natalia?
Well, tell you what. I could tell you, or you could help yourself to an Otter Pop.
Yeah, you're not going to freeze Sonny?
Nah, he's fine.
What if he goes, Daddy, I need you to take me to the Jonas Brothers concert.
Oh, well,
me.
Okay. If he goes gay, then I'll have to freeze him until we find a cure.
Okay, well, you may wonder what was going on with NBC's New Year's Eve with Carson Daly.
Mm-hmm.
He got a surprise visit from New York Yankee Alex Rodriguez to see the ball drop. Now, you may have heard that A-Rod has himself a new manager slash publicist, this guy, Guy O'Siri, that works with Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows if he engineered this very compelling exchange between A-Rod and Carson Daly. Big surprise.
Well, we're just about, this is a pleasant surprise, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Just under 3 minutes till the ball drops. You were born in New York.
I was.
You didn't come back until you remember the Yankees in 2004.
Right.
What is it? Have you been in Times Square for the ball drop?
I haven't. I mean, as a kid, I've always watched it, and I've always been a dream of mine to actually come in and share it with just a million people here. This is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And my wife and I thought, what better place to be than New York?
Oh, it's fantastic to see you. People must be freaking out to see Alex Rodriguez running around Times Square.
It's exciting. I mean, you know, I'm beginning to feel like a New Yorker now, and New York's a wonderful place, and today's a perfect example of what New York has to bring, this passion, the music, the way people are celebrating it. I'm glad to be a part of it.
It's great to have the guy who was gunned down in your fair city playing in the background. The somber tones of the man who was assassinated in New York playing while you're standing in Times Square.
The Dakota, right? Wasn't that his
yeah.
building?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dakota Fontana. Montana Dakota. I'm going to make myself a kid's show about a tweener falls in love with John Lennon's ghost and is bored by Alex Rodriguez. And I'm going to call it The Fanning Dakota Montana.
I mean, it writes itself.
I think it just did.
Thank God, because the writers are on strike, which reminds me.
Mm.
The late night hosts are all coming back tonight.
Mm.
I cannot wait to see how this is going to go down. 5 late night hosts will return to work.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the twist. Thanks to an agreement with the Writers Guild of America, forged just last week, 2 of the hosts, that is David Letterman and Craig Ferguson, will be accompanied by their writing teams. It's a different story for Jay Leno, Conan O'Brien, and Jimmy Kimmel. They will be deprived of their writer services, working on the fly, relying on improvisation and interviews.
I told Jimmy that he should return tonight, right?
Tonight.
Yeah. I said, you should come out there with like a 3-foot beard. Just come out there in a bathrobe wearing Kleenex boxes for slippers. Just
Jack
be nice.
Howard Hughes.
Yeah, it's just a great, just as if 100 years had gone by. He gave me a condescending grin and moved on. I'm sure he has no intention of doing it. Yeah, I went out. Jimmy and I went out to dinner a couple nights back, and I was asking, what are you going to do? And here's the good news, everybody. He don't know.
Really? He has no idea.
Well, now, the thing about Jimmy is he has a background in radio. So he's very good at sitting and speaking and working off the cuff and doesn't need the teleprompter loaded up. But I'm sure they'll be doing, you know, some man on the street bits and things like that. And as I was saying to Jimmy, being philosophical about the whole thing, but I do believe in this statement, change is good. We never want change. We always fight it. We resist it like a MF-er, but change is always good. When has change really not been good? Even bad change, even being dumped, divorced, or fired, whatever it is, change usually brings good, not immediately, but it yields it down the road, like some seed you plant, but there's no harvest until the spring. So I said, you know, Jimmy, you'll probably do things differently and discover things that you wouldn't have discovered before, because when it's status quo, it's just status quo. You have to do a show every night, you hit your mark, you stand, you do your monologue, you get the jokes, you get the teleprompter, that's the way it goes. I said, something good will come from this, or you'll be fired and become my gardener.
Well, you know, a lot of people
Either way, it'll be changed, yes.
That the strike in 88 inspired some of the bits that we most associate with Letterman, because when he didn't have his writers, he had to do a lot of, like, you know, have the cameraman pan over a bunch of food.
Right.
Talk about that. You know, the type of stuff you know him for now, does it float? Maybe the genesis of that was his time on the air without writers. In any case, it's going to be interesting to see these guys weather the storm and how they do.
All right. Well, we'll be watching tonight.
I'll be watching. I don't know if you were watching your friend David Alan Greer.
Dag.
Your
main man.
Your main man was on TMZ.
Mm-hmm.
He was outside of Hyde.
Hey, Adam.
Very popular nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
And the TMZ cameras caught up with him. And according to TMZ, he was stuttering and slurring his words. He was talking about his pregnant wife. I couldn't tell if he was joking around or if he was intoxicated. Here is David Alan Greer, captured by TMZ in front of Hyde.
And my wife is about to give birth. It's really f***ed up. I shouldn't be in here. Not really. I'm
really got it. You're going to hit him up like this.
Don't hit me up on this. My wife's going to give birth any moment, and I'm in this club. I really shouldn't be here.
I'm very happy.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. What a loser. No, not really. Not really. Not really. My wife is having a baby, and I'm really happy. And what better way to celebrate it than to go to Hyde and really celebrate it with the young people of America.
He's just screwing around. His wife's not due for a couple of months, right?
I think she's due in February.
All right.
Yeah, guy can go out.
Well, by the way, you know, we do this thing where you go, seemed like he had a couple of drinks or he may have been drunk.
Yeah,
on Saturday night, 11:30 in a nightclub, that's what you do. You don't bring a canteen of Gatorade and sit there and work on a Rubik's Cube. You go there and get your booze on.
That's right.
What else you got, T?
Turns out that whites are more likely to get their narcotics on in the ER than any other race. Emergency room doctors are prescribing strong narcotics more often to patients who complain of pain. But minorities are less likely to get them than whites. This is according to a new study that is going to appear today in the American Medical Association Journal.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, emergency rooms, use of narcotics overall rose in emergency rooms from 23% back in 93 to 37% in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
This is their wide release. This is the findings of their wide-ranging study.
Now, we're talking about, like, painkiller stuff?
Exactly.
I mean, you go into an emergency room and you say, my ankle's killing me, give me something. And if you're black or Mexican or Japanese, you don't get it?
You're less likely to get it than if you're white.
Mm-hmm. And if you're a Jew, you're like, I got it. I work at this, huh?
I
own
work
the hospital.
Here.
As a matter of fact, you're fired.
Well, according to one of the scientists involved in the study, the irony is that blacks are the least likely group to abuse prescription drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they get the fewest painkillers in emergency rooms.
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington.
So that's racism.
Well, it's hard to know. Now, some of the points that the scientists made are that minorities were slightly more likely than whites to get aspirin, ibuprofen, and similar drugs for pain. So perhaps they request an aspirin,
mm-hmm.
and maybe whites request a narcotic.
Mm-hmm. You mean, okay, and that, here's what I'm saying. The white folks are more educated on the prescription meds overall. Is that fair to say?
One could argue.
So we know what we're asking for.
Yes.
So it's like, I don't know if you guys have an In-N-Out Burger where you are, in your state, in your city, but we have a place out here called In-N-Out Burger. And you can go in and order off the menu, or you can order animal style, or you can order whatever code you give them, and they'll make you that burger. But if you don't know the code, you don't get the burger. Whitey knows the code. Cody. We put the code in Cody.
Yes, hello.
Yes.
Is that what's going on?
Yes.
So it's like if you go in there and you go, man, it's just my ankles kill me. Get me an aspirin. They'll get you an aspirin. But you say, get me Vicodin.
Right. You're talking about patient behavior. And they're saying that minority patients may be less likely to keep complaining about their pain or feel they deserve
mm-hmm.
good pain control. So that's mm-hmm. exactly right.
Right. Because that's a luxury. I mean, let's face it. It is a definite... Not experiencing pain is a luxury. And when you're poor and Latino and you're going in the emergency room, the luxury is reset the bone, but you don't have the luxury of avoiding the pain.
Also, they might not notice signs of drug abuse in white patients. So if I go in the ER and I say, look, this broken femur, could I just get a couple of Vicodin?
Mm-hmm.
They might be less likely to think that I'm just... you know, drug shopping,
mm-hmm.
and if I were a minority.
Well, as I've used to talk to Dr. Drew about it all the time, different minority groups, or different, I shouldn't even say minority groups, just different ethnic groups have their different drug preferences. Booze is good for the American Indian.
Right.
And it's good for the Eastern European. It's good for a few other. The Jews, not so much with the booze, not so much with the pot, but prescription.
Yeah.
Drugs. See, different groups have their different things, and they ought to look out for that.
I like to go to the In-N-Out of Consciousness Burger. my valley. No, I think, the prescription drugs maybe, you know, don't involve scoring them out on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Just go to your pharmacist. Although I have a very difficult time getting prescribed drugs.
Oh, really?
Perhaps people think I'm Latin. Yeah, I asked for something. I mean, I could be on fire, and I would not get a half a Valium.
Well, I know your principal of your high school thought you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Perhaps they don't want to do any damage to the fetus.
And I say, I'm not pregnant. They go, okay.
Teresa.
Maybe an aspirin.
Just, I'll tell you what. Let's tease it. Let's take a break. Wrap the news up. But when we come back, I want you to retell that story.
Oh, no.
I want you to know why Teresa Strasser isn't right. You know what I mean? Here's what I'm saying. Here's
not
what this
right
next,
in the head.
Here's what this, forget about the ramp on the news. Let me just say this. Let's say you buy a used car.
Right.
And the used car's got a weird smell inside. It smells mildewy.
Yeah.
What's going on? It doesn't smell like a Christmas tree. There's something weird in here, but you can't put your finger on it. It's not like somebody farted or somebody left Chinese food in the place. It just smells mildewy. And the door, you have to shut it twice. You know, you shut it. Then it sort of jars, still ajar, and you have to pull it open and shut it, this time with a little more passion. And it pulls just a little, not so much you can't drive. When you let go of the steering wheel, pulls just a little left. And you think to yourself, what's wrong with this car? What's going on? It looks good. Paint shiny. Seems to run fine, but it pulls a little. Door doesn't fit right. Smells of mildew. What if I could show you the film of that car being turned over off the bridge and into that body of water? You would understand. You would know what is wrong with that car.
Yeah, it's never going to be right.
When we come back, through the majesty of words, Teresa's going to explain to you what went wrong, what happened, why the car went off the bridge. She will explain. She'll tell you the story. The next time you climb into Teresa and slam the door and take a whiff, you'll go, oh, yeah. Now I know.
I hope Batman doesn't understand the lemon laws.
We'll take a break. Teresa, she'll tell you the very moving story about the time her high school principal thought she was pregnant. She wasn't.
Oh, no.
We'll do that. You'll tell us about what you did over the vacation. T will tell us what she did. I spent the whole time talking to you guys about dropping my kids on their head over the vacation. And I'll tell you a first that happened with me over the vacation. A first. We'll take a quick break. Back with that next.
This is crazy, or at least one of the reasons, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we learned moments ago that her dad threw her down a well when she was a tweener. She was between a nickel and a wooden bucket at the bottom of the well. Quickly before we find out why Teresa's a lemon, if you go... Our message board our message board has been shut down for quite some time, but if you go to the unofficial Adam Carolla Show message board, you can find it.
Yeah, just Google unofficial message Adam Carolla message board. I think it's Mahalo 30, something like that, but a lot of your fans, they're diehard, dedicated fans, and many of them have written to me on MySpace over the last couple of weeks, dying to know what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that you posted on there, and when I read your post, I recognized the syntax and verbiage as you. I think that was you.
It was me.
They're not sure.
No. Here's how you know it wasn't me, or it was me. It wasn't funny. It wasn't interesting. There wasn't anything to it. I just replied to my fans who wanted to know what was going on. T.
Yeah.
Now what's going on with you?
See how I tried to avoid the topic?
Right. Now you're heading into therapy in T minus 6 hours.
That's it, too.
Mm-hmm. And why? Tell us about, play some music, Bald Brian. Let's see if we can get her to cry. What happened in high school?
Well, this doesn't even crack the top 10 worst experiences of high school, but it was maybe 11th.
Mm-hmm.
In 9th grade, I'd always been a ballet dancer from age 4, and I would go to ballet class right after school every day for a couple hours. And so when I quit, my body, you know, it went through some changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I gained a couple pounds, a little chubby.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that happened sort of fast.
Mm-hmm.
By 10th grade, I didn't quite look right. And then so that year, I went to a really ritzy private school, and I was one of 5 scholarship kids in my grade. It's a very small school, only 300 students. And so I was from the wrong side of the tracks, a little different from the other kids.
How do you get into the ritzy private school?
Grades and test scores.
Mm-hmm. In the 6th grade? In the 9th grade?
Yeah,
when did you start?
Tests. I started in 9th grade, and in junior high, they have achievement tests.
And you, so you placed well on
those.
Yeah,
you know, I'm a good test taker. It means nothing, obviously, in life, but...
Look, you folks out there with your education who always are trying to downplay it. You know, I have friends, I know guys who went to Harvard and Yale, and they always try to downplay it, or they go, oh, I did well in tests, but don't. It's important. I mean, you know, doing well at tests is just sort of doing well at life when it gets sort of concentrated to a moment. Do you know what I mean? I mean, a first date is a test. A job interview is a test. Oh, you take a bunch of tests with Scantron sheets and essay papers and all that when you're in high school and in college. And then later on, your tests come in the form of meeting your boss or meeting your in-laws. So if you're good at tests, that's a good thing.
I can read information and synthesize it very quickly, which is useful for tests. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, my life skills could stand some improving. My interpersonal skills could, as you know.
Yeah.
So in 10th grade, the headmaster, as we called him, of the school, he was ritzy. He had been the headmaster at a prep school, a boarding school back east.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Exeter. It was one of those.
Mm.
And
wasn't the school Dr. Drew went to, the Lord Fauntleroy School for Albino Hemophiliacs?
Yes, they were all inbred and excellent students.
And they called. He called you in to his office.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he called me in, and I was in one of... He taught a class, Russian Lit, which I was in.
Mm.
So I thought
Christ.
I know. We read... You know,
Chekhov.
Dostoevsky.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So he called me into his office, and he expressed concern...
What was he concerned about? You were in his class.
Yeah, I was in his class.
You were doing well in his class?
Doing well in his class.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, I've heard some things.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that you might be having some personal problems, and I want you to be able to come to me.
Well, that seemed responsible of him.
Right.
I wonder what he'd heard.
Well, that's what I wondered.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me just wanted to bolt out of there, but part of me thought I should probably find out what he'd heard.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked, you know, what do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I understand that you're pregnant. Well, I was a virgin.
Uh-huh.
That was impossible. Mm. And my mind was reeling because I was looking at the guy thinking, how could I, he's basically saying either you're fat, you're a slut, you're a combination of both.
Mm-hmm.
You don't belong here.
Keep going.
Get over to the other side of the tracks. You're easy. You're dumb. You're not one of us. Because there were a lot of blue bloods in San Francisco where I grew up. A lot of very posh families.
Now, did you have a school uniform?
No, no uniforms. Just wear whatever. I wish we'd had a uniform. Then I would have blended better.
Have one of those plaid skirts.
Knee socks.
You flash him the hymen. Put him in his place.
There were a lot of those. I flashed. Yeah, I'd be like, really? I'm pregnant? Then why do I have an intact hymen, my friend?
Yeah.
I chose not to do that.
Wow.
Because I don't know if you've experienced this, because I don't know if shame affects you the same way, but it was...
If I had a hymen when I was young, you know that thing where people go, talk to the hand?
Right.
I would have replaced it with hymen.
Tell it to the hymen.
Never stop showing off my hymen.
I should have. I should have said,
talk to the hymen. Really?
Tell it to the hymen.
Yeah. Hey, I want to introduce you to my friend. How about it? Yes. Jaime the hymen. How about you talk to him? Hello?
His name's Jaime?
Yes. He's a Jewish rabbi hymen.
One or the other.
Or Latin. It's all right. It's all right.
Then I said, well... Mr. I want to say.
Hold on,
his name.
Let me put the bee hymen on the phone. Hello?
The bee hymen has a much lower voice.
Yeah. What's happening? Hurry up. It's time for lunch.
What does the Bahaman like to eat?
It's not really what goes here. It's what comes out. I got a break.
Well, both the Bahaman and the hymen were intact, as I tried to explain to him. But the more I explained that I wasn't pregnant and I had never had sex, the more he gave me the condescending, okay.
Mm.
But if you want
wrong,
to talk about
wrong side
it,
of the tracks.
Yeah.
They thought because you were the underprivileged student, the one who was there on scholarship, probably had an eye on you.
He probably did have an eye on me.
Probably had an eye on the other four students that were there on some sort of hardship, whatever.
They were Asian.
Oh, forget that.
I was the only white one.
Oh, okay.
So he had all, both
hold on,
eyes
there's
on
poor
me.
Asians in this country?
In San Francisco, sure. It's a large immigrant community.
What's up?
And they, you know, they were excellent students. And, yeah, so he had all his eyes on me. And I tried to tell him I wasn't pregnant and he wasn't having it.
Damaging. Damaging.
Well, in fact, it was so shaming that I walked out of his office and I never told, I didn't tell my mom. I didn't tell, if I had friends, I wouldn't have told them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the first person I told it to on the air a couple months ago.
Wow.
Don't cry!
I'd be flattered, but I have my own hang-ups. So you were like, listen, the headmaster. You remember his name?
Yeah.
What's wrong? Say his name. That's anything bad about the guy.
Semi-public figure.
He's a semi-public... Gosh, I wonder if he's even there.
Hmm?
It rhymes with Mr. Cutaback. That was his name.
Rabbit test?
No, that was his name.
So he would... So you just tossed into his garbage can and then you left?
Yeah. Well, I didn't want lunch to digest.
Right.
It wasn't going to help with the fat.
Hey, Kelvin.
Hey, how's it going?
How say you, my friend?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Good. What's up?
I lost my margarita maker that I won at the show.
Oh, I remember you, Kelvin. You were out there in, where was that godforsaken show?
Santa Ana, the Galaxy Theater.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How do you lose?
That Adam wasn't there.
Yeah. And you lost a margarita maker?
Yeah, I said it. I don't know. I had it.
Hold on a second. You know what margarita makers are? They're called bartenders. You don't need one.
Right.
There are places called bars where they make margaritas, and you pay a guy $4, and he makes you one.
Kelvin?
Probably more expensive to make one at home than it is just to go out and buy one. Hey, Kelvin?
Yeah. I was pretty bummed. Yeah, I had it, and I set it down, and I turned around, and it was gone.
He took it. All right. What would you like us to do about that?
Nothing. I just wanted to say that I missed you, and I'm glad that you're back.
Thanks, Kelvin. I missed you as well, and I'm glad I'm back. Bald
Coincidentally,
Brian.
Angie called me every day over the break and asked if I wanted to have some margaritas.
She stole the margarita maker.
Sticky fingers.
I will tell you of a story that happened to me over the break, something that has never happened to me before. Actually, I actually had it happen twice in one day. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but I honk through people, which is to say if there's... the car in front of the car that's in front of me is not doing the right thing, I honk.
I see.
And then usually the car that's in front of me gives me the, hey, what the F do you want me to do? I can't do anything. This guy's not moving. I know the light's green, but what do you want me to do? And, of course, my answer is honk, you puss.
So you're honking to tell the other car to honk.
Yes.
Tell the other car to act correctly.
I honk through people. I was honked through to me on the same day I honked. And by the way, anyone who knows me, honking through to me, that's like the police chief's house being robbed. Or fire marshal's house burning to the ground. Well, first thing that happened is I was honking through somebody. You see, out here in Los Angeles, we have a very volatile and horrible mixture between people from countries where they don't have roads or cars, and then people that are transplants from other cities where it's not legal to turn right on a red. Here in Southern California, it's legal to turn right on a red. We could move traffic along 10% faster if people were aware of that, but they're not. We have all sorts of campaigns that say click it or ticket or report drunk driving, all sorts of things like that. But we don't have anything to alert the fine and new citizens of Southern California that it's legal to turn right on a red. Why? I have no idea. I don't know what's in it for Mayor Villaretardo or the rest of his clan. I don't know who makes these policies. I'm not sure why they're so obsessed with secondhand smoke or wearing your seatbelt and not with moving traffic along, but it's not spoken. It's not put out there. It's not discussed. So most people who drive here who are from a state where it's illegal or from a country where they don't have cars, well, they're not aware of it. And so when the signal is red, they don't turn right. Even if no cars are coming, they don't turn right, and the line piles up behind them. Well, I, who grew up out here, and evidently in some kind of hurry that you're all not in, always honk the horn. And people always do that thing where they go, don't be rude, and I go, but don't be rude. I always draw this analogy. What if you were just walking down the sidewalk and you're in a hurry? You're running late for work. You want to get where you're going. And somebody was just meandering down the sidewalk. They were just doing a little window shopping, taking their time. And you went to pass them and they stuck their arm out. And they said, no, get behind me. We'll go at my pace. And you went, what are you talking about? And you honked your horn. Would that be rude? Because this is what they're doing. They're ignoring the law. The law says you can turn, and they're not. It's no different than if the light was green and they weren't turning. They're not turning, and they can turn legally. So I honk, and I give a toot on the horn. And the poor scared woman in front of me does nothing. She doesn't even establish eye contact. And then I hit it again. Nothing. And now no cars are coming and the light is red and the person in front of me, who normally I get the shrug shoulders. I get the, whoa, what can I do? And then I do it again. Now it's become amusing. And now I lean on the horn, no hyperbole. I lean on the horn as if I got into a front end collision and the horn was broken.
Right.
Uninterrupted horn honking. I will guarantee you this. That horn was used more in that 35 seconds than my dad has used his car horn in his entire lifetime. My dad's done three toots on a car horn in his entire life. One and a half was a car I leased him. I leaned on the horn and it was uninterrupted, just as if the horn was broken and the person never looked back and they never looked in the rear and they never shrugged their shoulders and the person ahead of them never moved and we're all just piled up and I just leaned on it and my wife was screaming at me and I said, I don't care. You're supposed to turn right. Okay, but no information is given. And by the way, all we talk about is congestion and all we talk about is adding another lane onto a freeway or how are we going to alleviate congestion? What about you? How about you pussy tree huggers out there? We waste 50 gallons of fuel every year just sitting, just idling, sitting in traffic, sitting waiting for left turn arrows that never change, sitting to turn right when we could turn right, but it's red and the puss in front of us is too scared or too stupid to know it's okay. How about you people chime up? Where are my compadres? Where are my friends? Who's on my side with this one? What's going on in this godforsaken city? So I honked and honked and I leaned on the horn and nothing. We just sat there with the horn. Just leaned on it. No exaggeration, no hyperbole, just nonstop, uninterrupted horn honking until the light changed and then the person slowly moved out. Now, about 2 hours later, I was heading out. I was driving in Hollywood. I was heading on to Cahuenga Boulevard and I had a car behind me and a turquoise Ford F-150. I'll never forget it behind him. And I came up to the red. And I came to a stop, as you should do.
Right.
And I hesitated or hiccuped or did whatever, did not venture out. And the guy, not behind me, but the turquoise Ford F-150 behind him immediately was on the horn.
He honked through to you.
I had been honked through.
Wow.
I had to go home and take a honk shower.
Well, it puts the car in karma.
Oh, boy.
Because look at all the times you've done that. But why would you hesitate? I mean, turning on a red is your oxygen. It's what you live for. Turning on a left arrow is what you live for. What happened?
No excuses, man.
No, you're right.
I lost focus. I lost concentration up there. I'm not going to blame the car manufacturer. I'm not going to blame Caltrans. Yeah, there was a headwind, but I'm not going to blame it on that.
How was the visibility, the viz?
The viz was, it's about 2-3 mile wind coming out southwest at 18 knots. The visibility was 400, 500 yards. I'm not going to blame it on anything. Yeah, my shoulder was a little stiff. It's an injury I had in high school, but it didn't prevent me from turning the wheel. I didn't bring my A game.
It happens.
And I felt like I let my team down, and that's the thing that's most disappointing.
It's not just you.
Adam Carolla got honked through.
Did you want to get out of your car and go to the guy and say, listen, you just honked through to me. Nobody believes in turning right on reds more than I do.
I wanted to hug the man. I felt like we could start our own colony in Plentywood, Montana. He'd be the chick. But you know what I mean? I felt like we could start a young group of honker throughers. Yes, no, I didn't have disdain for him. I had, you know, you see those movies? You see those mob movies where the kingpin is coming through town and he taps on some guy's shoulder and he goes, "That's my chair, move along," and all the henchmen are standing around and the guy shrugs his shoulder off and he goes, "Last time I checked, I didn't see your name on it." And everyone moves back, they slide the chairs back and they go, "Oh my God, he's going to put him in the ground right now." But what does the Don say to him? "You know what? That took guts. And I respect that. Now I'm going to kill your family." But that's what I wanted to do to the guy. I wanted to pull him aside and go, "I'm not upset. I like the cut of your jibs." All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Ah, Music Monday. Well, it may not technically be a Monday, but it feels like one to me.
Yeah, but in radio, if you don't alliterate, I mean, you're nothing. You know, mm-hmm. 2 for Tuesday.
Right.
Therapy Thursday.
Talktober.
Talktober.
Which isn't really even alliteration. Mm-hmm. Hey, we'll take ourselves a break. When we come back, songs to replace Auld Lang Syne. I don't even know what that means.
I think it means long time past.
Mm-hmm.
It's a loose translation of the Scots.
Either way, no one knows the words anymore.
Nobody
it's from
does.
A different country. We're all confused. Best and worst songs to play right after the ball drops. Right after Dick Clark mumbles, "Happy Nude Year."
Or do
happy,
year.
Happy Do Year. The song you do and don't want playing next on a Music Monday.
Hey, it's Music Monday on Wednesday here on the Adam Carolla Show. This time around, as we ring in the new year. What's the best and the worst song you could possibly hear to welcome 2008? Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we've decided Auld Lang Syne has had a pretty good run, but it's time to be retired.
It's 300 years old or thereabouts.
So it's about the same age Dick Clark is?
I think maybe give or take 2-3 years.
Ryan Seacrest with it. He's a workaholic and we all just stand up and cheer. Oh. I thought he was a self-absorbed egomaniac, but it turns out he has a disease. He's a workaholic. Listen, I don't like the holic put behind anything except for alcoholic. I don't like the workaholic. I don't like the
shopaholic.
Chocaholic. Oh, please. All right, where were we?
Well, you made the very excellent point earlier that if he was a workaholic trying to find a cure or treatment for Alzheimer's,
right,
that would be...
ironic.
Admirable.
But admirable. Yes. Yes. He's a workaholic. Look, if you put makeup on, you're not doing anything important. Sorry. You stand next to some chick we don't care about and help ring in the new year once a year. That you're just on an ego trip. You don't want to let it go. All right, where were we?
Music Wednesday.
That's right. Music Wednesday. Songs that should replace Auld Lang Syne. Songs that should be played at the drop of the ball first of the year. First, let's start with the good.
3, 2, 1.
Horns ringing in the new year, but more importantly, the theme. This is a mandate to get it on. They're not asking you to get it on. They're not requesting that you get it on. It's not an invitation to get it on. It's a mandate. Man. Date. I mean, man. Crap. You know what I'm saying.
I want to you when the moon shines bright. I said I want to you when the time is right now. I need you.
This is from 1971. Imagine how much these guys got laid back in the day.
They got it on.
No AIDS. All you'd have to do is say to a chick in 1971, if she didn't want to get it on with you, is, "What? Oh, you're uptight?" Then she'd go, "Oh, I'm not uptight." And then you'd be having sex within 15 seconds.
Yeah, you want to have some grass? You want to feel as uptight?
That's right. Get it on in the morning now. That's right. Get it on. Ball has dropped. Now the underpants are dropping. You're juiced up. Had a half bottle of champagne. You guys are ready to go off. Find a little corner of the dance floor and get it on.
Is the title of this song Get It On?
It's called Get It On.
Who's the artist?
They are known as Chase.
Oh.
Actually, I'd be done getting it on by now.
That's it?
Yeah.
Now you're getting your nap on.
Second part of the song's called Watch TiVo. Get on in your refractory stage. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, listen to the horns, everybody. That's a stone jam. All right, so I could dig this on the first of the year. All right, let's go to the bad, though. Got to get it on. He just screams he has to get it on 1,500 times. Again, it is a mandate. It's like God told you to get it on.
Right.
Next song is a bad song.
Three, two,
little
one.
Hit from the Bee Gees. Saddest song ever. Makes that Janis Ian song at 17 sound like Happy Birthday. Yeah, long before the Bee Gees Saturday Night Fever disco era, they were big. Well, they were out of, I think they're Australian, but I think they went to England or something like that, and they had a bunch of hits. And this was it. Or this was one of them.
Joke's on him.
Yeah, he started to cry and everyone started to laugh.
Maybe the headmaster thought he was pregnant. Joke's on him.
I would take one of those string puller champagne confetti noise popper things, put it right under my chin, blow my head off.
Then the joke's on everyone else.
Yeah, the ball would drop and Carole's head would drop onto the dance floor. He died.
Oh, died?
He died and the whole world started living. Had to be a decent gig for the rest of the Bee Gees, though. All they had to do was play the mandolin in the background and go, ah, ah.
That was beautiful.
How'd that work on the lyrics? All right, I'm going to kill myself. Gee, I feel like you could pop a couple of
Xanax,
maybe have a shot of Jameson's and get down with this song, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the second worst song to hear on New Year's Eve.
One.
Those of you who are fans of Rocky IV will recognize this as the Soviet national anthem. That's a bad sign. Means the Ruskies have taken over, Kate.
And you'll have to sing along, or people will know that you don't support them.
Mm-hmm.
But inside, you'd be crying.
That's right. And then in the middle, I would yell at my son through some chain link fence, "Avenge me! Avenge me!" That's right. Soviet national anthem, a horrible song to hear on this country's New Year's of Eve. But even worse. Wait a minute, do we have it? Avenge me! Avenge me! All right, a song I dusted off and stumbled on to last year, which sounds like a long time ago, but I think it was the last Music Monday, but I'm still in love with it, and a lot of you have never heard it before. Horrible, horrible for New Year's.
Oh, no.
Not T.
Leatherette.
Here's how we can do this. You can complain.
Or I'll go, you'll wish me away to where Danny went? Please don't wish me to the cornfield where Danny and Damashek are. Ruska?
No.
They'll eat me alive.
You keep complaining, we'll hear the song twice.
No!
As it is, we're just going to hear it once.
Leatherette. On warm.
They hit a verse though, right? Or is it just all this?
Yeah. Warm. There's a tear of petrol that comes down his eye.
Right, right.
That's not for 26 warm. Minutes into the song, though, so I have to wait.
Leatherette.
approximately the same amount as it takes Dick Clark to count down from 20.
Leatherette. Warm. Leatherette. Warm. Leatherette. Join.
What if I get Stockholm syndrome and in about 3 months I decide that I like the song?
You start craving warm leatherettes.
I decide it's a good song. It's meaningful. It's melodic.
It is highly possible. All right. We're going to take ourselves a break. When we come back, T has hers. I have my number one.
Are we taking callers?
Sure. 866-901-ADAM. Make your contribution to our Music Monday on a Wednesday. Songs that need to replace Auld Lang Syne on the first of the year when the ball drops. I'll give you this hint about my number one. Not a song that I've ever played. We've been doing this for, I don't know, a year plus, year and a half, close to 2 years. I don't believe the song's ever been played. You know it, I think. But I've never played it, but it is by far the worst song here on the first year. Quick break. Back with the rest of Music Monday next. Find it, stream it, whatever. If you're in one of our affiliate stations and you want to hear yourself some Dooch Man, that's what you would do. All right. People can figure out the computer these days, right?
Yeah, it shouldn't be difficult to podcast from our website. And I'm wishing Danny a great first show today. I believe he starts at, is it 2 to 3?
2 to 3.
Yeah.
Hey, T.
Yep.
You got your songs. I got my songs. It's Music Monday. You people have your songs, too. Best songs to replace Auld Lang Syne. Hey, Aaron.
Yes.
What's up, my brother?
Not much. I want to wish you a happy new year, and hopefully you'll have some good times here in the future here.
Good times. What do you got for us?
Show. Well, as a bad one, I have that stupid Prince song in 1999.
Thank you.
I hate Prince and I hate that song.
Thank you. He is a pompous ass by every account, and I want that factored in. Character counts. He's a jackass of a human being, and yet he just gets the genius label, and we all give him a pass. And this song, although not a bad song, not as bad as some of his other 80s stuff that doesn't hold up at all, we all just love us some Prince, and I don't know why. It's all right, but it sounds like a lot of the same crap you don't want to listen to anymore from that time period. Thank you.
Remember when it was 1999?
I know.
This was nonstop.
I know. I want to kill myself like it was 1949. I don't know why that would have been a good year to kill myself.
Well, 29 would have been good.
Thank you. Stock market. All right. T.
You want to hear a good one for New Year's?
No, wait a minute. I want to hear Lou, I guess. Lou?
Hey there.
Hey, I want to hear a good one from Lou.
Well, my song is Run. That's like the good song for New Year's for me because it's so triumphant when it comes in, and the theme is about, you know, when, you know, another chance to, like, even though you're where you're at might have not been so great, going to run, you're going to get it done this year, you know?
Yes, one of the more effed out Bruce songs, but still a great song.
And this will be a good New Year's song because even if you don't know the verses, everyone can chime in on the chorus.
Yeah, I always liked Bruce, but I always hated living in Los Angeles because every third song of his, he'd tell some chick to meet him out on the edge of town. And I was like, where is that? Sunland? Van Nuys?
Panorama City.
Panorama City. How far do I got to go? City Industry?
Commerce?
Where's the edge of town? Edge of town, when you live in Los Angeles, is called Mexico.
Yeah.
Or Canada. There's no edge of town. I always want to go to that place and at a town. Los Angeles has no edges. We just keep going. You know the thing where you tell your girl, climb out the window of your farmhouse, I'll be on my hog, you meet me by the edge of town, and we'll see the country?
At
no edge.
We have out on the docks. We've got Long Beach.
Yeah, but that's not even, you know, it's a bunch of cement, you know, big steel gantry cranes and horrible Teamsters and stuff. It's not a real dock. Yeah. All right. I'll meet you out on Baker, the giant thermometer. 70-foot thermometer. That's where I'll meet you, Wendy. Hey, Lou?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good times. I always said I'd name my kid Lou, but I screwed up.
Oh, do you have name regret?
Well, you know, my kid may get into sports.
Yeah.
And if you're named Lou, you never hear the boos.
It sounds like Lou.
Yeah.
And they're shouting.
And when a guy named Lou comes to the plate and it's, and the announcer always says, sounds like they're booing, but they're really saying, Lou, well, you could do whatever you wanted when your name was Lou.
That's true. There was a point guard on the Lakers. I think his last name was Lou. You know who I'm talking
Tyrone
about?
Tyrone Lou.
Yeah, Tyrone Lou. And at first I thought they kept booing him because they were shouting Lou.
A guy named Tyrone in the NBA?
I know.
Whew. All right. T?
Okay, well, I looked up the history of the song Auld Lang Syne, and it's really about friendship and fellowship and hope.
Mm-hmm.
So I found what I think is an equivalent, and it's also a crowd pleaser.
Mm-hmm.
3, 2, 1
Wow. Who doesn't know and love this?
This is crazy. I have a TV theme on my good one, too, yeah. All right, now listen to this song. I never figure that line out. Hanging in a jar line is what she says, but hanging in a jawin.
No, it's a chow line.
Hanging in a jivin'?
Now listen, I did 4 days on this when I did Love Line. I could never figure it out. Look, play it again. She says, I think she says hanging in a jawing, like talking trash. But then she says Lynn at the end.
I know. So you thought it was hanging in a jawing, like talking, kibitzing, as my people say.
Right. Well, technically she says hanging in a jar line. I mean, that's what it sounds like. She starts with jawing, but ends with line. Well, one more time. Ryan. One more time. Chow line. Yeah, you know why? Because you said chow when
now
she said
it.
Jaw.
Yeah.
All right, don't say. Free your mind. Shake your head like an Etch-a-Sketch. You ready?
Right, yeah.
One more time.
This is one of the great mysteries.
Yes. Well, I have a theme song from a 70s TV show as well. Another sitcom that wasn't so funny, though.
3, 2, 1 Please tell me this is a good song.
Yeah.
For New Year's.
Mm-hmm. One day at a time.
I really wanted to be Valerie Bertinelli.
I did too. Still holding out hope.
She's a great big fat.
Maybe she's a little. No, she went on the Jenny Craig.
Every girl. Of course, Cerisa wasn't born yet because she's only 29.
Thank you.
Are you going down? Are you 28 yet? When are you going to be 28?
I'm holding.
All the young girls wanted to be Valerie Bertinelli. She was like sassy and smart and cute and perky and on a horribly depressing sitcom from the 70s. But
she was approachable.
Mm-hmm. T, let's go bad now.
Okay.
What do you got?
Well, I tried to think of the opposite sentiment of Auld Lang Syne. And just for fun, I went on iTunes and I typed in two words and there was a song that included those two words. And in fact, it is entitled that.
Oh, the guy just died. No, different guy.
Song's called Screw You.
Who's it by?
The Epics.
Wow. Good song, good band name. They're opening for Miley Cyrus coming up this weekend.
The F-Up.
Yeah. Well, we have to say the F-Up in the radio, on the marquee. It's written out in long form. Kind of nice.
It's not a bad song.
No, but would be bad.
Yeah.
For the new year. All right, here is my bad not my bonus bald, Brian, but my bad. This is, well, while technically not a song, more of a sound, but I would not want to hear this. That's the fax machine thing.
Ugh.
Can we do something?
Awful sound.
What year is it? Do we need to hear that? And you ever do that? Now, the worst is when you're driving and you have your cell phone mashed. You know when you're holding your cell phone and you're driving, it's kind of loud. There's a lot of ambient noise. You mash your, like, I try to actually push my cell phone into my ear. Actually, just try to wedge it. Put some KY on it. Wedge it into my ear. Just wedge it in. All of a sudden, you get that. I know there's a technical reason why it's there, but is there something we could do? Is there some way to get rid of that in '08? It's 2008 now. Can we get rid of that?
I think something like that happens on your office line, which for some reason I have in your phone.
Yes.
My phone, and I called over there.
Well, that's right. Teresa called me during the break. We were replaced by warm leather ads. Teresa, what happened? You called me during the break?
Yeah, I was already kind of nervous to call because I hate to bother people, and I'm not too good on the phone. But, you know, it was important. I had, there were things to discuss. And somehow I was accidentally calling the office line, which I don't think you use anymore. But it picked up enough that I could hear your and Lynette's conversation,
mm-hmm.
which mainly the theme was who would be calling on this line. And how annoying it was that they were calling.
Right.
And I could hear for like 5 minutes. And then I was like, who is this? Who's calling? Ugh. And there was irritable. And then
right, I hung
I
up.
Had to decide whether or not to call back.
You did.
I did, yeah.
It was a great decision. But, yeah, I just eventually picked it up and hung it up. But it was a stupid fax machine thing was driving me nuts. All right, where were we? Ah, that was my bad. Give me your bad. Is this your number one bad?
Yeah.
All right, I got mine.
Well, Auld Lang Syne works because it's bittersweet.
Mm-hmm.
Talks about, you know, memories of things that are lost and hope for the future. But what if you took out the bitter and bittersweet and you doubled the sweet?
Mm-hmm. 3, 2, 1
with my sweet in order for it to evoke the feeling that Auld Lang Syne does.
Yeah, too uplifting.
Too uplifting.
Yeah.
And I'm disappointed.
A little bitter brings out the sweet. Yes. This is why the Mexicans can't
right.
make dessert.
You gotta have something bitter in there.
Right. Jews know that.
We do.
Put a little baking soda in with their pastry.
Well, you know, when we eat the parsley, we dip it in the salt water to remind us of our tears.
That's right. Some bitter herbs.
Bitter herbs. That's why you smash a glass when you're getting married. To remind you of worse times.
Do you guys have a holiday where you just punch yourself in the face and then eat?
I explained this to Batman when I was explaining about. I said every holiday boils down to people tried to kill us. We survived. Now let's eat.
But first, let's punch ourselves in the face to remind us
of the pain. Because if you forget the pain, then we might be likely to fall into the same. But we have to remember the pain.
Well, speaking of pain, my number one song is from a guy named Barry McGuire.
Who?
He captured 1967.
World, it is
it's an uplifting ditty.
Violence flaring, bullets loading. You're old enough to kill, but not for voting. You don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting? And even the Jordan River has bodies floating. But you tell me.
I think Bob Dylan's to blame for all this. So, you know, like when the Beatles came on and then every third band from Indiana had the mop top hairdo and was dressed like Sergeant Peppers, you know, they all just jumped on it. This guy was probably in the cow sills before this.
With a world in a crave.
I wonder if I ever performed on New Year's.
It's bound to scare you, boy, and you.
tell me over
and over. Hey, everyone, Barry McGuire is going to be your New Year's entertainment. There'll be no one to save with the world in a grave. Enjoy yourself.
He's going to be on Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve.
Yeah. All right, now we have to hear the end. Yeah.
Harmonica this is why, tip off.
It's about the time my mom locked herself in the room and yelled, freak out.
Freak out! Because it was a bad biorhythm day.
Just contemplate. Contemplate. 15 syllables in contemplate.
And full of senators don't pass legislation. And marches alone can't bring integration. When human respect is disintegrating. This whole crazy world is just too frustrating. And you tell me over and over.
Yep. This,
over
what the, this is what the 60s were, kids.
Don't believe.
I swear to God, if you would have taken a polling of my mom and her friends and said, do you think we'll make it to the year 2000? They would have said, absolutely not.
Nukes.
Nukes, pollutants, war, race riots. I mean, we're all going to be living underground because there's going to be no ozone left and there'll be no clean drinking water and there'll be no oil. And basically, here's what's going to happen. We're going to run out of oil. The world is going to turn dark and go into a panic. And then it's just going to turn into some sort of bad Kevin Costner movie where you ride around on a horse and collect mail. We're not going to make it, though.
Right. Just Kevin Costner.
Costner will be the only one to make it. You're too good an actor. I remember at 9, my mom pulled me aside and said, you got chops. You're not going to make it. Only Keanu Reeves and Kevin Costner are going to be left behind in the apocalyptic future. Yep, that's what I grew up listening to, everybody. Eve of Destruction. Is there any worse song for New Year's Eve? And has the word Eve in it.
Yeah.
Give it up for the Ace Man.
That was a good job. I'm giving it up because I don't want to go to the cornfield.
That's where I'll wish you. All right. Someone who's definitely not going to the cornfield, maybe the cornhole field. Tara Patrick. Only place worse than the cornfield, everybody.
Don't wish me there.
Tara Patrick and Greg Fitzsimmons, comedian Greg Fitzsimmons. Tara, arguably the best looking woman.
In porn.
Now I was going to say, on the planet.
She is very beautiful. And she comes in here with no makeup.
Mm-mm.
Natural. She is stunning.
Used to be a nurse, too.
Yeah.
Greg Fitzsimmons in studio. Tara Patrick in next.
Show the hosts of the AVN Adult Video Awards, comedian Greg Fitzsimmons, and registered nurse Tara Patrick on the Adam Carolla Show.
Great to see you two kids.
Yay, hi. Yeah.
You guys will recognize the theme to Taboo 2?
Of course.
Yeah. Was this one of your first porn that you watched, Greg Fitzsimmons?
Well, I only had three porns for about 15 years because they were on VHS, and I got to know them, I got to love them, and I almost felt like bringing other porns into the house would have been cheating on my three.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I knew every motion in it. Mm-hmm. I knew when I needed to be aligned with the climaxes of my actors.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't feel the need for other ones.
I had surgery on my left hand, which is my business hand, a few years back, and I was in a cast for a few months, and I had to take the right hand out of mothballs, and I remember the same thing was going on at the Carolla house.
Yeah.
Left hand, not happy.
Yeah, of course.
Tara, were you a fan of porn before you were in porn?
You know, I wasn't, but I was going to make a comment about the VHS. I sell, you know, porn on the road when I do my burlesque shows, and I had guys asking me for VHS. And I don't carry VHS tapes. We're in the DVD age. So I would tell guys, I will buy you a DVD player if you buy some DVDs.
Have you guys taken a look at YouPorn?
Yeah, I was there two nights ago.
I saw it for the first time a few weeks ago, and I got angry. I was angry for the youth of this country.
Yeah.
I was like, do you know what we had to do for porn?
I know.
Yeah, they get it for free now.
Not only for free, but what about variety?
Yeah.
Like Greg was talking about, you know, for me, actually, one of the greatest gifts I ever got is when I reunited Jimmy Kimmel with Sex Boat.
Oh,
that was his, wasn't even his, it was his friend's.
Yeah.
It was his neighbor's first porn.
Yeah.
And my buddy, the Wheeze, that was his first porn sex boat. We didn't have a VCR growing up in the Corolla house, so that was my first porn, too, was Sex Boat and Taboo 2. And there's a weird thing. We were, you know, like when Charlie and when Charlie Brown and Snoopy would get together?
Aww.
That's what Jimmy did with Sex Boat in the front lawn. It's like music playing, dancing, tail up in the air.
Well, no, actually, and my really, the main one that I had was, there was a comedian who started out with me in Boston who was super hot. Huge rack and skinny and Jewish. And she
Leary? Oh, sorry.
She was part of a comedy team, and then she moved out to L.A. to get into the film industry. Oh. And she ended up getting into the other film industry. And, like, very softcore porn, like a Showtime kind of thing. But a VHS of that went around. And when you know somebody and you fantasize about them and then you get to see them in a porn, that's all I needed. I would watch that again and again.
You're talking to someone who asked Christy Canyon out on several dates before she was in porn.
Really?
Turned down. But I got to tell you, the day I got home from my construction job when I was 19 and somebody told me, you know, I won't say her real name, but we all knew her. Her sister asked me to the Sadie Hawkins dance in the ninth grade, going to Walter Reed Junior High. When we found out that Christy Canyon, now imagine if Christy Canyon was just a 17-year-old neighborhood girl.
Right, of course.
And you just spent the last 5 years seeing her walking around in cutoffs and T-shirts and stuff like that. And then you found out she was in porn. It was like, I was like, to the crap mobile! Like, 80 guys piled into the back of my 79 Mazda pickup truck. And it's like, we headed toward Koreatown to find the one rental place that had it, and I like walked in.
The Holy Grail.
I'm like, and when the guy held it up, it's like, okay, blah, 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 blah. Let's have rules. If something happens to me on the way back to the apartment, I bequeath this to the Wheeze.
I mean, it made it better that you never had her.
Oh, I was just thinking, because it's more satisfying, she turned you down.
Yeah.
Now you can see everything you want.
Tara,
you can do whatever you want.
Tara Patrick, you are, again, not only the most beautiful woman in porn, the most beautiful woman.
Thank you, Adam.
Spectacular, and in no makeup, just wearing the sweatpants. Beautiful, natural D-cup.
In Paradise Island number one, doing her first anal scene.
Oh, yes.
Did you say natural D-cup?
I think.
Double D.
But that's natural?
No, not anymore.
Adam.
Oh, not anymore? I don't know. They seem to have a beautiful sort of pendulous sort of sway to them. They don't
They're
like
natural for Adam.
Yeah. All right, now let's not burst any bubbles here.
No, we're not going to burst anything.
Did you, now, so I have my Christy Canyon story.
Right.
Greg has his softcore version of my Christy Canyon story.
Right.
I don't know if it's worth repeating, but the point is did you run into any guys, you know, have you ever had that experience, guys you went to high school with, guys, you were a nurse, right?
Yeah, sure.
Could you imagine working with Tara Patrick for a number of years and then finding out she's on Paradise Island?
No, actually, my fiance, the first guy I was ever engaged to, he came to one of the, it wasn't the AVN show, he came to like the Erotica LA show and stood in line to get my autograph. And I was like, oh, I know you.
Was that weird?
It was weird. Yeah, it was really weird. But he was real excited. He was like, wow, I've seen you so many times and you're amazing.
But at least he'd been with you.
Yes, yes.
I'm talking about the super nerdy guy pushing a mop at the hospital you worked at for 3 years. Well, could you imagine what that guy did to Paradise Island?
I know. I don't know if he stood in line, but I'm sure he has and not told me.
He probably just needed the cover of the box. He probably went in stages.
Yeah.
It took a week with just the cover.
That's what happened with me and on Golden Blonde, the first Christy Canyon movie. I'm like, I'm taking this home. I'm going to lock myself. Who wants to eat?
Well, that's why I love that they have bonus features on all these DVDs. It's like, bonus feature. I haven't seen more than the first 5 minutes of these things.
No, I don't even get by the part where the chick is wanting you to call her. Hey. Single? What the? Oh, we got
it's our first bleep of OA.
Hey.
First bleep of OA.
Congratulations. By the way, where's the redheaded kid from the Partridge Family?
Who?
Adam, wish him to the cornfield.
We will take ourselves a quick break.
But what about the rhythm of the show? I mean, how... What about your rants? How are they going to be stopped halfway through for a drug story from the 70s?
I can do my best. I can only do my best.
Greg Fitzsimmons is in studio. AVN Awards is where he will be.
Stop interrupting Adam's rants.
Saturday, January 12th, along with the beautiful Tara Patrick.
Yay.
Mm. We'll take a quick break. I got some questions.
I have a big question. Don't answer now, but I need to know if either of you can shed any light on Two Girls in a Cup.
Wow.
Just think about it, because I've got a lot of questions.
It's up for Best Independent or Best Foreign or Best Short or something at the AVNs this year, yeah.
It's just like Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza, except instead of pizza.
Oh, no.
I must say, who showed that to me?
Robert Schimmel.
I swear to you, I'm going to sue Schimmel. I don't
I showed
care.
My wife in bed last night.
You did? Life.
She hadn't seen it until
but
last
aren't
night.
Are you curious? Is that ice cream? I want to know.
All right. All right, hold on. Let's take a break. Tara Patrick is here as long as Wells break. Fitzsimmons. We'll take a quick break. Talk porn next.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Now more with AVN Adult Video Awards hosts, Tara Patrick and Greg Fitzsimmons on the Adam Carolla Show.
By the way, how's this going to work with the writer strike? What's going to be in the teleprompter?
Fortunately, I have about an hour and 20 minutes of porn jokes from my act. And if I use those, I'm fine.
And that's in Vegas. That's coming up on the 12th. That is Saturday the 12th at the Mandalay Bay Events Center. I imagine this thing grows by leaps and bounds every year, right?
It's the 25th anniversary, too, so it's like a milestone.
Mm. Yeah.
It's the biggest that it's ever been. They started letting the public in last year, and so it jumped from 2,000 or 3,000 to 5,000, and I think it sells out. But it's as a comedian, it's a great challenge to get on stage in front of 5,000 coked-up narcissists who are flashing for the extra camera and tell jokes and hold their attention.
Not that different from the Oscars.
So Tara Patrick, one of the most, I would say the most beautiful woman in adult films and maybe ever. Beautiful, educated. You were a nurse, right?
Yes, 10 years ago.
10 years ago, and you were employed as a nurse?
Yeah.
And can you mention where you worked?
I don't know. Should I?
Well, what kind of nurse were you?
Did you have a specialty?
I worked with geriatrics.
I remember that,
I worked with geriatrics.
And what got you into the lucrative world of porn?
You know, I just decided, I got into the business through Playboy. I had posed for Playboy magazine. That's how I got into the business. I was a model when I was younger, and I just
gateway
wanted to get back
porn.
Into it. That gateway porn. Playboy is the gateway.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did Penthouse and Hustler. I did magazines for about a year, and then I got into the business. I did my first movie with a guy named Andrew Blake.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know who he is.
Sure.
Yep, I did my first movie with him, and it just kind of spiraled after that.
Now, normally they do a loop, right? They do like a test movie. That's what they used to call them back in the day.
No, I never did a test movie.
You did it? You just started?
I just jumped right in.
What was the name of the first movie?
Aroused.
Mm-hmm.
And was your first scene girl?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then, that was your first scene, but was there...
That was my first movie. The first movie was an all-girl movie.
What was your first boy-girl scene?
It was called Fire and Ice, and it was for Adam and Eve.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And that was how long? How long did they have to convince you to do the boy-girl stuff?
Well, actually, the producer that did the Andrew Blake movie was the same producer for the Adam and Eve movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of just went that way. She was just kind of like, oh, would you do boy-girl? And I was like, I'd rather do boy-girl. It felt more natural.
Uh-huh. But yet not for the first movie.
Not for the first movie. No, that was just how the cookie crumbled.
See, I like the first movie. There should be a whole series called First Movies.
There's a clip on, there's a website called shushtime.com that I visit every day. And yesterday they had a girl, and it was her first time getting naked to show her body to potentially do porn. And it's 5 or 6 minutes long. And nothing wild happens, but it's so erotic because it's that. It's that
it's the first
very
time.
Raw, kind of vulnerable.
Right. I don't want movie 187 where they're actually looking at a Reader's Digest and on the phone with their agent during the sex scene. I want the one where they're like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
Yes, this was a horrible mistake.
Were you scared during the first scene you did?
not scared. I wasn't scared, but it's definitely, it's something new. You know, it's new, it's exciting, it's different. I mean, for me, I started doing movies because I wanted to live out all my fantasies. I just wanted to live out some fantasies and have a good time and get paid and, mm-hmm. you know, it's exciting.
For me, yeah. the only time I feel free is when I'm nude.
Yeah.
That's the only
Interesting.
Time.
Or dancing, or especially dancing in the nude.
Dancing yeah. in the nude.
So right. you're having sex with a guy, there are a bunch of strangers standing around, and it doesn't bother you.
Not a bunch. It wasn't that crowded.
Mm-hmm.
No,
but a handful of guys.
A handful. And girls.
And I feel like if I was a grip working on the movie and I saw, you know, Tara Patrick come walking in, I'd be like, I'm going to put the donut down and see what's going on.
I'm not sure I'm going to be gripping the camera here.
Yes. No, no one was eating donuts.
Yeah, that's my feeling. Donuts. Like, even if I was a jaded veteran of porn, when a beautiful girl like Tara Patrick came in, I feel like I would put down whatever it is I was reading and go be on the set.
Well, I had no idea what to do. I'd never done a porn movie before, and I really didn't know what to do. And the cameraman, who actually turned out to be a good friend of mine later, he was guiding me through the whole thing. He was experienced. I mean, he'd filmed a lot of porn movies, and he was mm-hmm. like, okay, look this way, point your toes this way, let's get you facing this way. And he really worked it out for me.
You could understand him through the garbage bag?
I could.
Yeah, because if I was a porn cameraman, I would be... I'd be dressed as the
hazmat
man from
suit.
GLAAD.
Yeah.
Yes, I would just have just one small hole in a garbage bag because turn the ceiling fan off.
Yeah.
When I did my Playboy layout, that blew my mind because here I am, you know, I'm shooting for Playboy and everyone was so professional. Like I was like, no one's looking at me.
No one was masturbating.
No one was paying attention to me.
That's the rap that I've heard on porn sets. And I've been on a porn set is that some of the women like a crowd and the men don't. And when I was there, I watched Evan Stone, who's a hero to me.
He's great.
He went for an hour straight with this girl. It was like it was actually her second movie. And to watch them, it was like watching Olympians. I mean, these people are athletes. And you know how you behave in sex during the last 12 seconds? Mm-hmm. They do that for an hour straight.
Wow.
And I just thought, man, I owe my wife an apology.
I got to apologize, too, because the last 12 seconds are also the first 12 and the middle 12. For me, it's just 12 seconds.
Well, Tara, how long between that first scene
right.
and then doing Paradise Island with your first anal scene?
Mm. I think it was probably like 30 movies later. 40 movies later. I mean,
just a blink of an eye.
Yeah, just a blink of an eye. Just a blip in the career business. No, I started my own company in 2003, and I started working in the industry in 2000. So I guess it was 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't shot, like, hundreds of movies. You know, I haven't shot a whole bunch of movies.
But this is how it works now. The ladies are doing it for themselves.
Yes,
now, have you seen the downside of that? Mm-hmm. Have you seen the male actors now? They're getting good-looking. I don't like that.
Right, because you choose which guys you work with. Right?
I always have, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
I like the fat guys with the mullets. I don't like these new attractive men.
They're going out of business, baby.
Ugh. Yeah, so you never worked with Ronnie?
Never worked with Ron. But Ron's been in some of my movies, you know, in a non-sex role. Because he's a good actor. I think he's a good actor.
Yeah, but no one has the sound up.
But he doesn't do anything.
He had a cameo on Anal Island.
He does a cameo. That's
he's
all.
Sean Penn.
He just wanders the island.
He was a shipwrecked captain.
He's just a shipwreck, yeah.
He had a lot of scenes with Wilson, his ball.
Yeah, Ron's the ball. Ron's the ball.
Plays a volleyball.
Plays a volleyball with a mustache.
Hairy,
beard.
Circumcised volleyball.
Can we get to this two girls in a cup?
Oh, yes. Oh. All right, now let's not be too graphic here in the morning, but I've seen this video. I did not want to see it.
I never saw it, but I've heard about it.
Fitzsimmons?
You've seen it.
I showed my wife last night, and I really should have gotten the camera to videotape her reaction, because that's the real thing, is that you go online and watch different people's reactions to watching it the first time.
Right.
Yeah, now those who haven't seen the video, I'll try to explain it in a way that doesn't make anyone bring up their
breakfast.
It's like
Two and a Half Men, except the half a man is a cop.
it's something you do... pardon the pun, once a day, but not into a cup.
Right.
But it's a big porcelain cup.
That's right. That's the way God intended it. But this is and it catches you off guard, to say the least.
I would say so, yeah.
And
yeah,
layers of catching you off different guards.
Right. So you showed this to your wife.
Only because she kept asking about it, like, because she hears about it. She goes, what is it? And I go, I'm not going to tell you. You have the only way you're going to find out is to watch it. And she wouldn't. And then finally last night, she broke, we're going to bed, last, like, lights out, TV out. She's like, what is it? And I go, you got to watch it. So I pulled out the laptop, and she watched it, and it ended with her punching me in the chest and then rolling over and going to sleep.
Really? Because I saw it, and then I needed to watch it more times than the Zapruder film. Because there's a few cuts in there.
Oh, really?
I needed to find out what was happening. If it's real.
There's a cutaway at the key moment between the delivery and the, yeah. So,
right.
But yeah, and there's different, I don't know who did the color on the film. Perhaps, that's a clue that it might not be 100% real.
I'm with you.
Well, Schimmel, Robert Schimmel showed it to me, and I would talk about it more, except for I'm in litigation right now, because look, if you can sue McDonald's for dumping a little coffee on your crotch, this was a piping hot coffee on my crotch.
It's not up for any awards, to my knowledge.
Oh, I thought you said
ABNs,
it was. Okay.
But it should be, because it's the most talked about.
Well, what are the categories? Do you guys, I mean, obviously there's girl on girl, there's boy girl.
Of awards. We're up for like 27 awards.
You say we, you mean you and your vagina? Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, Terravision, my company. No, I'm not that good.
Terravision is up for a lot. What are you guys up for?
Well, we did a movie with Dave Navarro, so we're up for best movie with
Dave
him.
Navarro.
Yeah, Dave.
20 of them in the category.
20 of them for Dave. No, we're up for, like, best, I think, I don't even know. Gosh, I'm so bad.
That's what I love about the porny awards.
We're just up for
awards.
You don't
even know what you're doing.
You know what the category is?
When we win, we'll be somewhere available to pick up the award.
Mm-hmm. One category is best double anal. And
Yeah, there should be one of those, at least the participation award.
Yeah,
should be
absolutely.
Given out for that.
I mean, I'm married. I'm lucky to get single.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Anything.
One and a half on a good day. All right, we will be, well... Can you watch this, by the way? I was going to say, do they televise it?
They do televise it, absolutely.
Nick at Night? What's it on?
No, it's on Showtime.
Showtime.
The first AVN, time on Showtime.
AVN Awards. Tara
Nick
Patrick
at Night is pretty good, though.
It's going to be there.
You can buy tickets if you want on Ticketmaster.
Yes. It's at the Mandalay Bay Event Center. Greg and I will be hosting on the 12th.
And it's the same weekend as the Consumer Electronics Convention, so you've never seen so many Asians in town, and you're not sure if they're trying to sell you an iPod or something you can download onto it.
True.
Yeah.
They're all standing in line to meet me.
Yeah, it is the same crew.
All the Asian guys, at least.
Greg Fitzsimmons, why don't you give your radio show a plug?
Well, let me do better than that and invite you to be my guest this Monday.
No can do.
Yes,
this Monday.
This Monday at 9 o'clock. Adam, will you be my guest on my Sirius 101 show?
If it's within 8 miles...
It is indeed.
Of my house, then I will be there.
All right. See him, Howard 101 on Sirius. And check out MySpace.com/FitzDog if you want to get some tour dates for me. But the big thing is me and Tara Patrick together on the 12th. Can't wait.
Absolutely. I can't either. And you can check me out on clubtara.com.
T.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news?
We're going to talk about Jamie Lynn Spears. I don't know if you heard.
Yeah, she's pregnant. Mm.
Yes. And now there's a big question about whether or not her show is coming back. I'll have some answers.
Mm. Zoe 101.
Nick at Night.
Other rumors about that, too. I don't know if we can even talk about it on the air. But
the dad?
Yes.
The aforementioned Ron Jeremy?
No. Do you know who the father might be?
Well, I heard it was just some 19-year-old kid from the church.
She met a church.
Nah, new rumor going around the internet that it may be somebody older than that who is involved in the
porn?
Show.
Oh, sorry.
As an executive.
Oh.
It was on, like, StarMagazine.com. I can't remember which one, but I read online. There's a lot of rumors flying around that it's... Could be ugly.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. We'll do the news next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
So much for the Big Ten, huh? USC wins their second straight Rose Bowl, 49-17, pasting of Illinois.
Well, college students are tackling the murder case of Chandra Levy, what they're doing to make sure this case doesn't go cold.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times. Now my favorite part of the Adam Carolla Show, Teresa Strasser and her news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
New Year's Eve, Dick Clark counted down the final 20 seconds of 2007.
Do you see the New Year's drooling Eve?
They named it to New Year's. They renamed it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Chuck Berry estate stepped in and said you can't use rockin'.
Right, that's his word.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here he is, counting down the final 20 seconds.
The noise is building, Times Square. Everybody is ready to say goodbye to the old year and ring in the new. It's going to be a whale of a celebration. So let's go. Here we go. 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, Happy New Year!
You really should put New Year on a cue card. Look, here's why I'm being cruel to Dick Clark. He's had a stroke.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, couple things. First off, I'm disappointed because I don't see Dick Clark during the year. I just see him on the New Year's Drooling Eve, and they don't interview him on Entertainment Tonight. They interview Ryan Seacrest, who just kisses his ass. So what happens is you see these blurbs with Seacrest, and you're like, hey, and how's Dick Clark doing? Dick's awesome. Dick's doing great. He's the hardest working guy in show business. You know, he's a workaholic. He's 74 years young and he's recovering quite nicely. I mean, he's on top of his game. He's kidding around, whatever. And then you see him and you go, oh my God, the guy's a mess, because the expectation level got raised and then you saw him. If they were smart, they'd have Seacrest talking to the perky haired and eyed entertainment reporter on whatever show you watch, and they'd say, Seacrest, hey, Ryan Seacrest here, how's Dick Clark doing? And Seacrest would go, he's an effing mess. This guy's a nonstop drool machine. I don't know how he's doing. He can't form a sentence. We'll prop him up and hope for the best, but we're going to have to duct tape him to a mop handle in order to keep him up, and I don't know if he'll make it. He'll start at 20. Over-under is 11 before the old man passes out. And then you'd see him and you'd go, oh, that's not so bad. They sounded all right. But when you hear the cheery-eyed, he's on the mend, and he's never sounded better, and then you hear him, well, then it becomes sad. Now, look, the guy has more money than God, and I'm sure if it wasn't his production entity, he would not be working. You have a ton of money. Stop working. Be with your family. Be with your friends. You have how many days, years, months left on the planet? And again, if you're down in the lab curing AIDS or cancer, by all means, work 10 minutes after you die. Keep working. All you people that are doing something important, keep working. You who wear makeup and do nothing, it just looks like a bow tie floating in a sea of Grecian formula. You can retire. You're not doing anything. And there's 1,000 guys who can do it better than you. Thank you.
That's no way to say Happy New Year. Poor man.
Yeah.
Bravely counting, even though he's had a stroke.
Yes.
Trouble.
No, I want everyone, look, here's the thing. I don't want to see Joe Namath playing the NFL. His knees are horrible. He's an alcoholic and barely walk. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I love about sports. You know what everyone secretly loves about sports? It's all the things we never talk about. It's natural selection. We'll weed you out. The slow gazelle gets eaten. And we love it. There's no such thing as a Dick Clark in sports.
Oh, no.
There's no such thing of, well, yeah, but he's general manager of the team. He's 74 years old, but he insists on returning punts. Oh, no. You know why? Because Ray Lewis will put an end to that dream very quickly. And guess what? When the scariest linebacker in the league, Ray Lewis, when he gets a little old, then he gets eaten too. That's the purity of sports.
So Regis,
except for golf,
would stay on your team. Because he can still run.
He can still run.
And block.
He can still move.
Well, Jamie Lynn Spears was in the news a lot while we were away.
Mm-hmm.
As I'm sure you've heard.
Yeah.
She is 16 years old and pregnant. This was reported in OK Magazine. Now, Star Magazine is coming out with some pretty serious accusations. They're saying that the father of Jamie Lynn Spears' baby may not be Casey Aldridge, the 19-year-old she met at church. Instead...
Federline. That would be awesome.
Can you imagine?
I would have a whole new respect for him.
Ugh. Instead, Star Magazine is saying that the father...
I know who.
Who?
You ready?
Yeah.
That means I can't think of the guy's name. Are you still ready?
Yeah.
Happy New Year 2006.
His name's
Ava
Dick.
Gabor's husband.
Oh.
Count Chocula.
Prince
Chocablowhard.
You think that guy is a baby dad?
Prince Medallion. Would that be awesome? He should have a press conference and explain that he's the dad.
I'm sure he will. It's what he does every time there's a mystery baby. He's classy.
All right, who's the dad?
The father of Jamie Lynn Spears' baby is not boyfriend Casey Aldridge, according to reports from Star Magazine, but instead an executive at Nickelodeon. This is going to be a bombshell. It turns out to be true. Star Magazine is insisting that the teenager may not be the dad and that the friends and family think it's this older man from Nickelodeon who would, in fact, face statutory rape charges.
Well,
going to friends, she was no longer even seeing this Casey character.
The first thing I would do when I was president is clean up all the statutory rape laws that are different from county to county. For the love of Christ, there's certain things we can agree on in this country, right? You got to be 18 to vote. You got to be 21 to buy booze.
Yeah.
18 to buy cigarettes. 18 to enlist in the military. You know what I mean? 16 to have a driver's license. Wouldn't it be confusing if you're just traveling around and it's like, oh, in Kentucky, you can be 9 and have a driver's license, but in Hawaii, you got to be 49. You know what I'm saying?
It's confusing.
Nobody knows. Everyone's like, well, okay, but if they're both underage, well, what's the age of consent? Well, where are they from? You know what I'm saying? Let's just pick an age. Let's just make it 17.
That seems fair.
Yeah, we'll split the difference. You want 16, she wants 18. Make it 17 if you're both under. And by the way, if you're both under, who cares?
Yeah. Well, all states have, as far as I know, have that built in. So statutory rape, if you're 17 and 18, I think in Louisiana, if it's 3 years apart, it's not. So I think they're 16 and 19. Thus, he would not be charged with statutory. If he were 20, he might be.
It gets confusing. But the point is, and also, I would look at your age not just as a number on your driver's license, but your age as collected. I would collect other data.
Right.
Were you a virgin? Have you seen R-rated movies? How's your, you know, what shows do you watch? I would figure out what your emotional age was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, Dick Clark is the world's oldest teenager.
Right.
Who's had a stroke.
Yeah. He
be like
could
that.
Be.
You
right.
Could get,
he'd be considered 16.
In my, under my regime, if you had sex with a 79-year-old Dick Clark, it'd be statutory rape because he's a teen.
Right. Now, Bald Brian, who may his actual years might be 28, you'd have him placed around.
Geez, well, his scalp is in its 80s. How much I know.
My hair died when I was in my teens.
So did the music.
Zoe 101, which is Jamie Lynn Spears' show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Friday is Judgment Day for
Nickelodeon. How old do we think the executive guy would be?
No word, but he's an executive at Nickelodeon. He'd have to be...
Mm-hmm.
Far older than 19.
I'm going to keep you under contract.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, that is from Star Magazine, and it is yet to be confirmed by anyone in the family. But the show Zoe 101, Friday is Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm.
Is the show going to return to the air?
Mm.
What's going to happen? The network has no plans to yank Zoe from its schedule, nor are officials there expecting trouble. This was before the little Star report.
Mm-hmm.
No outcry from advertisers and viewers yet, and there probably won't be, says an inside industry source.
Yeah, we're all jaded. We don't care anymore.
Yeah?
And Britney Spears, her parents, worst parents ever?
Well, you know, Lynn Spears was working on a book.
That's Mama?
Mama, with a Christian publishing outfit.
Yeah, let me translate that. A guy who could spell. Right.
Right.
And her book was?
Well.
Recipes, How to F Up Your Kids.
Exactly. How to Become a Very Rich Grandmother in 15 Years. Her book, the publishers came out and said it's not a parenting book because they were embarrassed after this pregnancy. Yeah. But it's widely thought that she was writing a parenting book. Now it's being sold as a book on the perils of fame.
Oh, I see. All right.
How to avoid that.
Yeah. Well, how about you not drag your 7-year-olds to auditions?
Yeah.
There's a way to avoid fame. The more you know. Or what else you got, baby
maybe
girl?
Not get them a boob job in their teens.
Yeah.
A big story on Christmas, as you no doubt heard, in San Francisco, there was an attack at the zoo, a tiger attack. And now the two brothers who survived the attack at the San Francisco Zoo are saying they were denied help for at least 30 minutes by zoo security, who did not take their claim seriously. Those brothers have hired Mark Garagos, who's a big, big lawyer. He, I think he represented Winona Ryder in the shoplifting case.
Right.
And now he's coming out to say that the brothers tried to get help. And no one took them seriously. They talked to a security guard. She didn't help them. He says if they had gotten help sooner, perhaps they wouldn't have gotten injured, and maybe the young man who died would not have died.
So the brothers went to, these were two brothers. They
right.
went to security, and they said, a tiger escaped. You have to help us. And the person ignored them. And
yes.
then the tiger attacked them?
What they're saying is they ran 300 yards to a zoo cafe where they had eaten earlier in the day,
mm-hmm.
but they were denied entry, according to Garagos, to the cafe because the zoo was closing. At that point, they say they lost sight of the tiger, which I presume had already escaped its enclosure.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time, then they returned to where they had seen the tiger, and at that point, the tiger returned and attacked one of the brothers before the police arrived and shot and killed the animal.
Mm. This tiger must be a hero to all other Bengal tigers. You know what I mean? Once word travels into Central Asia or India or wherever the hell the Bengal tigers are, imagine what a hero this tiger's gonna be. It's like, yeah, what happened? Well, he just sat in that zoo and paced. That's what tigers do. They just pace. They're like expecting fathers. They just pace back and forth, and a couple of kids like threw rocks at it, made fun of it. Eventually, it had an asshole. So it hopped a 14-foot fence, swam a moat, kicked some ass. Problem is it got the guy who didn't do anything to it. Now, I don't know, and they're being very tight-lipped about this stuff, and I can't figure out why. I know there's litigation here, but can't the cops and the media figure out what's going on? You know what I mean?
Apparently, the police have not finished investigating, so they don't want to release a report to the media until they're clear on what went down there.
They allegedly found a slingshot in an empty bottle of vodka.
Bad combination.
Right, and the only thing I've heard so far is the...
Definitely not a Jew.
The
Let's go down to the zoo on Christmas with a vodka bottle and a slingshot.
They found out, or I found out through CNN this morning, that the regulation height for the tiger wall is supposed to be 16 feet. It's about two stories. Your ceiling height in your house is 8 foot. So double that is what it's supposed to be. But this was like 12 foot 4 inches. Too low for that tiger. So the tiger got out, killed one guy.
Yeah.
And one, by the way, was there nobody at the zoo that day, or was it was this closing time and it was at the end of the day?
Closing time, the end of the day, and it was Christmas. I don't know if that's a big day at the zoo.
Mm. All right. L.A. Zoo's not usable anymore.
What, the one in Griffith Park?
Yeah. I don't know if it's free or they pay you to come in, but it's nothing but like gangbangers now.
It's a little sketchy there.
Yeah. Last time I
was
there.
I bring a slingshot.
I saw about a moose Vodka. Getting tagged. Yeah, they tagged a moose and a penguin.
I would not be surprised.
It's awesome if you want to see hippos crap underwater. That's about the only thing. You've not lived until you've seen a hippo crap underwater.
What's that like?
You know the two girls in a cup?
Yeah.
Better.
Wow.
Yeah.
More volume.
One hippo in a tank. It's an awesome video.
Well, how about...
And everything's dormant. I've been to the zoo 5 times. Every time I go to the zoo, the crocodile's dormant, just yeah. floating there like a log, and you throw like cheese doodles on it, and it just sits there, and then the stuff just lands on it. They're just dormant.
That's why you have to upgrade from cheese doodle to slingshot,
because
you want to see the animals moving.
Good time.
Just dormant, not paying you to sleep. How about the Rose Bowl?
Yeah.
The USC Trojans Mm-hmm. Took Illinois to school with a dominating 49-17 spanking.
Yeah.
Here, the coach, Pete Carroll, talks about winning the Rose Bowl 3 years in a row.
We're really proud to have the kind of consistency that we're showing here. This is such an extraordinary game and event to be a part of. It's just what SC has become synonymous with. We want to continue that as much as we can. To play here for in Southern California in front of our fans and have them all here with us is so important for us. And we're really, really proud to be Rose Bowl champs. I got to promise you that.
I also thought of you when the Patriots went 16-0.
Why'd you have to pull the scab off that wound?
Sorry.
It ruined my weekend.
It did?
Yeah, they did the thing. They showed the Patriots game Saturday night, and I was like, okay, don't get infested. They're going to blow out the Giants. Don't get involved here. And I was trying to, I can't, okay. When I eat with my kids, I have to watch Curious George. There's no other thing they will eat to. If you try to feed,
TMZ.
Yeah, you try to feed. No, that's what happens. I turn it on TMZ. They eat at 6:30. I put on TMZ. Lindsay Lohan's throwing the bird to some photogs. They watch that for 10 seconds, and then they want their Curious George. By the way, how gay is the guy with the yellow hat? He dresses.
He's by Curious George.
He dresses in a felt outfit with a top hat. He's Corvette yellow. There's never a chick around. Yes, by Curious George. He lives with a monkey that's his best friend. He has no female companionship whatsoever. He just lives in an apartment, and he plays with a monkey, and he spends all his time at a museum, but he's never on a date, and every third episode is something happening to the man with the yellow hat's hat. This is why I get angry at everyone who wants to do everything for kids.
What? Yeah.
Well, because I'm sorry, but I have to sit around and watch the adventures of Tyru, the kid, the pie-faced kid, and mom, and the dog that's, gargantuan dog, big dog, whatever his name is, and Thomas the Tank Engine. And I turn to my wife, and I go, you know, we could write one of these episodes right now faster than this episode took to show. You understand?
Yeah.
You could do, they're saying, it's like, what if I ordered you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open a pastry shop for retarded people. You just come. It's just a big tub of cookie dough. You just all the retards come in and grab cookie dough. Would that make me a chef? Would that make me a pastry chef? No. They're retarded.
Right.
They don't know what they're eating. They'll eat anything. Since I took a 55-gallon drum and fill it with potting soil.
Kids
come
are
on
just
in,
like
retards. Have yourself a handful of soil. Right. That's what kids are. They're retarded adults. To watch a stupid man in his yellow hat, his asexuality, his best friend is a monkey.
You can be funny without making fun of someone
else. His best friend's a monkey.
But I'm trying to see Julia Roberts yell at the paparazzi, and Sonny does this move, the Heisman move. You know, you have to feed him. You have to feed him like a parrot. You know, you have to take the food, and put it in your hand, you know, and you feed it to him.
You don't have to chew it like a bird.
No, you just put it in your hand, and you go here, and his hands go flying out in front of him. He does the Heisman move. He smacks you. He doesn't want anything to do with it. Then he starts flailing. His arms start flailing around until Curious George shows up.
Did the kids enjoy Christmas? Were they old enough to really understand what was happening with the presents and such?
No. It's just a look. What? Okay.
Makes me wish I had gone back to Tom Brady just then.
The daddy bought himself an expensive gift. It was a car. It was a toy car.
Right.
It was one of those die-cast 118 size, whatever the ones where the hood opens, it's all wheels turn and little steering wheel works. They're like $100 and they're made out of like lead, you know, they're like size of a shoe and they're really nice and they're detailed. And it's cool if you find your car in that, like if you ever found
the
like CRV. A Geo Metro, if they made one. No. Yeah, I found a car that I have, a very rare car, and I found it in that, and I bought it, and I made the mistake of bringing it home and setting it on the entry, whatever, and Sonny saw it. Boom, boom. He made that sound. Boom, boom. And then he cries. Boom, boom. And he points. Boom, boom. So, of course, my wife said, well, you got to give it to him now. He's seen it. And I said, well, why does that mean we have to give it to him? What happens when he sees a Goodyear blimp?
You give it to him.
Give it to him.
Pluck it from the sky.
Yeah, what happens when he sees a neighbor's dog? What, I have to go snatch a dog and bring it home? I said, I don't have to give it to him. Boom, 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 boom. room. So he wasn't interested in any of his toys. He wanted my expensive toy, and then he busted the windshield wiper off, and he broke the bumper off it, and he broke the exhaust tip off.
I hope you yelled at him, "You ruined Christmas. I wish you'd never been born."
Yeah, thank God we have it on videotape.
What kind of car was this toy car?
It was a Lamborghini 350 GT. 1966. Sorry. So, yes, I was watching Curious George, but then I find out what the gay guy in the yellow hat was up to. Couldn't they just give him a brown outfit? Have to give him a just canary yellow outfit? Anyway.
That's his look.
Never a date. Never a date. Couldn't there be an episode where he had a date? One of the ladies from the museum was coming over to his bachelor pad and Curious George screwed it up? No. Gay guy dragging a monkey around. That's what I got to watch. So I run into the next room and I turn the TV on. It's 28-15 or 28-16 or whatever the hell the Giants were up on the Pats. And I was like, oh, dear Lord. Dear Lord, they're going to win. Switch it off, Curious George. Sonny gave me the Heisman. Switch it back to Curious George. By the time it was over, they'd lost. Ruined my weekend.
Painful. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. Do you, CNN?
All righty. Harold? Harold, how say you?
It's actually Daryl, but I'm well. How are you?
Well, thank you.
I was actually calling because I think the show is doing better than ever today. I was trying to tell the phone screener. I wasn't sure if it was because of the best of shows that you guys were playing. And you're finally back, but, or maybe it's, you know, that Bonaducci's gone. Not that I had anything against the guy. I thought he contributed to the show fairly well, but Teresa's comedy has really stepped up today. She's making me laugh more than ever.
Well, Teresa is smart and talented, so she should.
And beautiful. Don't forget beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Daryl.
Well, absolutely. And Bald Brian, get that guy more involved. You know? Big fan of his as well, with the drops and everything.
All right, Harold. We'll enjoy.
I will. Thank you very much, you guys.
Good times,
Bye.
My
Thank
brother.
You.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break. When we come back, let's see, Ozzy has a movie review. We're going to do that. I'll tell you, I just paced around during the whole break in my bathrobe trying to figure out ways to explain things to you guys. That's all I
did. About the Danny situation. I think you did a really good job, but that was a few hours ago.
No, I wasn't thinking about that. Oh, I was thinking about that, but I was also thinking about ways to improve.
The show.
Improve your life. No, who cares about the show? It'll be over with in 4 months. No, I'm talking about your lives. Huh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we have a real unique situation here. We have a microphone. You have a stereo speaker, and we can tell you things we know. You know what I mean? Like, you ever go to someone's house and you walk in and they go, oh, no, here's what you do. And you go, oh, wow, that's cool. No, that's a good idea. No, I should do that. I mean, it happens once in a while. You go to someone's house and they're smart and they're efficient and they're effective and they're happy. And you go to their house and you see how they do something and you go, oh, that's a great idea. And then you do it and you think, wow, that was a nice little freebie there. I have some of those tips for you. Some philosophical, some practical for the new year.
I like that. Yeah.
So you think of yours.
Okay.
I have some mechanical tips, but I have some philosophical tips.
I mostly
tips
just
for you
reconstitute
too.
Stuff you tell me and tell it to other people.
Perfect. We'll do that. And then Ozzy comes in. You saw the bucket list. We'll do that next.
Happy New Year from the Adam Carolla Show. The Ace Man's got some tips for a better you in 2008. Let's get back to it. The Adam Carolla Show.
Before I get to the philosophical stuff, I will say this. Get yourself a good bathrobe for 08.
Ooh, what constitutes good?
I have one that's made of chenille. I think it's made of chenille.
I like chenille.
Yeah, it is the stuff that they make the high-end little kitty blankets about. It's like, nothing better.
Now, do you just put that on right out of the bath or the shower instead of toweling off?
I'm wearing it now. It's under my sweatpants. Yeah, it's just nice. It feels good. It's one of these things where people go, hey, man, I'm not rich. I don't have $90 to spend on a bathrobe. You will use it every day for the next 90 years. Do it.
Do it.
And get a good pair of slippers, but not too good. Slippery slope. Get slippers that don't have an outdoor bottom on them, not a rubber sole. They're slippers that have like a rubber sole on them. They're still slippers, but they have a rubber sole on them. You will be buying lottery tickets at the corner store in these things within 6 months. Yeah. So you got to get slippers that have a leather slipper bottom on them. Because what happens with the rubber slipper bottom is you get comfortable in them. And you do that move where you go, geez, I really shouldn't be going outdoors with these, but I guess I could go to the mailbox. That couldn't hurt.
Next thing you know,
just going to the market for a quart of milk. Yes. Next thing you know, you're wearing a three-piece suit and you're standing in front of a judge, but you're wearing slippers.
And you're the lawyer.
That's right.
It's just opening statements. I'm going to come tomorrow. I'll wear my loafers. Yes. And we start in on arguments.
The guy with the fur hanging out around his ankles, one of the best in the business. That's a confident man.
He's eccentric.
Yeah, so get yourself a good pair of slippers and get a nice bathrobe and enjoy. Now, to the philosophical stuff. I really think about change and I think about being realistic. And I was talking to somebody was asking me about my Catholic little brother over the vacation, Nathan. I got myself a Catholic little brother many years ago. It was probably about 12, 14 years ago now. What he was up to? And I said, he's doing computers. I said, oh, that's nice. How'd that go? And I said, well, when he was going through high school, he was a crappy student. He just wasn't a good student. And he had a plan about going to junior college and so on and so forth and maybe transferring. And, of course, everyone encourages you, go to junior college. Keep your education going. And when you tell people in our society, well, I'm going to go to junior college and then I'm going to transfer to a four-year university, you don't get any argument. You get a lot of pats on the back and knowing nods. But I said to him, being the responsible adult in his life, I said, hey, Nate, you're a horrible student. I've seen your report cards over the last 4 years. But you do like computers, and you are good at computers, and we're talking 14 years ago. Computers were, you know, not in everyone's home at the time. And I said, you learn about computers, and the world will beat a path to your doorstep. You'll be rich. Now, learn about computers. If you want your education, fine. Do it on your own time. But meanwhile, you have a mom, a single mom. You have five kids living in the same crappy apartment. You don't have the luxury of continuing your education. And by the way, if you wanted education, I think you would have started by now. Oh, no, but everyone gets involved. Go to junior college. I said, forget it. Go to computer school. Graduate in a year. You'll be making $35 an hour doing programming somewhere. You'll be 19 and a half. And then if you really want an education, well, there's plenty of avenues for that. And then I started thinking about it. Of course I was right. That's what he wanted to do. He wasn't good at school, but he was good at computers. And I thought, would we give that advice about anything else? What if a guy was a horrible athlete in high school? He tried to make the JV basketball team. He got cut. He tried to go out for sophomore, freshman football, and he got cut. And that was about it. He was undersized. He was slow and had no vertical leap. I'm looking at you, Brian. And then he was going to graduate. And upon graduation, he said, I think I'm going to try football. And we all went, yeah. Yeah, there's a junior football school that you could go try football again. And you could see and you could work out really hard and you could play. And then once you got good at football, the junior football school, then you could go to the Pac-10 or the Big 8 or wherever you want to go. Now, that would be irresponsible, right?
Right.
The kid sucked at football. If he was good at football, we would have known it by now.
I see
but
what you're
we
saying.
Don't.
Yeah.
Just like the school, not a student. You know, they talk about it, student athlete all the time. Well, my young Nate was not a good athlete or a good student, but he was good at computers. And I told him to do that, and he did it. Now he's in jail.
I know
you thought that was going another direction.
Yeah, I thought he was.
His old lady looked
floor?
At him sideways, so he threw a monitor at her. No, he is doing well now. When I saw him, just some years later after that, he had a job, he was out on his own, he had a car, he paid insurance, he paid his taxes. Why? Because he was realistic. So, people, what is your computer?
What are you good at?
What are you good
Where
at?
Do you excel? Where are you better than the competition?
You know what I'm good at?
Masturbating and napping?
Know what else I'm good at?
What?
Asking people what they're good at in a very self-important way.
Sweet irony.
All right. There's my New Year's tip for you guys. Oh, I had so much more. Maybe we'll cover it tomorrow. We'll take a quick break. Be back to wrap it up next. And Tara Patrick, AVN Awards, Saturday, January 12th at Mandalay Bay at the Event Center. Ticketmaster.com for info. Again, if you want to hear our friend Danny Bonaducci, you just keep the radio on. Somewhere around 2 p.m., you will hear him, or you can go to our website. Just go to KLSX.com if you're out of the Los Angeles area. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo. Hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to open a pastry shop for retarded people.